Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, to seize the turbo! All rise for King to seize the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Always looking to the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table. Yeah, maybe it should be old King Shaziz the Rotten. Ha! Alright, yeah, it's King Shaziz the Terrible. That'll work. Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. If you want to jump over there to People for People Radio and join in with those wonderful folks underneath the chat room in the, page, there is a direct link to People for People Radio. You can also listen in over there as well. So, with that said, this ought to be an interesting show today. We've been joined by Honorable Knights Barbara and Patty and Two Dog and Old King Shaziz the Rotten. So, how you all doing today? Patty, you said you had an announcement to make. You want to go for that first?
Yeah, I'll go for it. It's directed at Chief Charles Two Dog. And I'm glad that he's on today, because a couple of weeks ago, we were having a discussion, and everybody knows that I am quite outspoken, and I want to make sure that truth is always out there, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, Two Dog, Chief Two Dog, actually told us some truth, and I boo-hooed it, and I said, he'd say that. You know, he's talking about Trump, and Trump said, I love war. And I said, he didn't say that. You know, I'm not a Trump fan, but I got this thing about truth. And by gosh, don't do this sensational stuff, you know. So I jumped, and I was wrong. I was wrong, and I want to make a public apology, because Chief Charles Two Dog was absolutely right. Trump did say that on video. I saw it. I went and watched it, and I was wrong. And I just want to make sure that the chief knows this, because you guys know me, and every so now and then I get on my little wagon, you know. And I was wrong, and I just want to say sorry for that, chief. And you were right.
Well, that's good, Patty. Thank you.
Well, see, that's what this is all about around here. We can all agree to disagree and all that kind of stuff, but when we know we're wrong, we come out and we make it right by our brothers and sisters. That's cool. Thanks, Patty. That's just awesome. All right, folks.
I just love you guys.
We love you, too. So, folks, I'm going to play a podcast live here, and probably the people on Skype might not be able to hear it because it doesn't feed back in very well, but I'm going to try it anyway, and the title of today's show is Listen Closely. And it's really important that you listen close to what's actually being said in here. The date of this supposed leak from the Pentagon or whatever, it's been quite a while since this has happened. But nonetheless, the information still stands true today and really seriously needs to be contemplated on and discussed, because it's really quite disturbing. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and I don't know if you guys will be able to hear it or not, but the mics, we're doing this open mic, so it's not going to feed, you know, like it normally does when you play a song or whatever. Anyway, here we go.
Excuse me. On the left over here, we have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR, expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. So let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach. What you see
here is by spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from going on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic and individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual light lit up the right middle frontal gyrus, shown here, and that's a part of the brain that's associated with theory of mind. It's a part of the brain that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In marked contrast, here's an individual who would not particularly self-describe as religious, and when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something.
So you're suggesting I take a CT scan with me when I'm evaluating people to determine whether it's a bullet in their head?
So the data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think that we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene, and that would have the effect that you see here, which is it's essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person. And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East.
How would you suggest that this is going to disperse?
Well, so the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses, such as flu or rhinoviruses, and we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of those viruses, and we're quite confident that this will be a very successful approach.
This is fascinating. What's the name of this proposal?
Yeah, so the name of this project is FunVax, which is the vaccine for religious fundamentalism.
And you have a proposal already?
The proposal has just been submitted, and I think that the data that I have shown you today would support the development of this project, and we think it has great promise.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there, but this particular podcast was, whenever they actually did this meeting, I guess was 4/13 of 05. And there's a whole lot of points to hit on what you just heard right there. And the reason why I'm stopping it now is because the YouTube creator had pretty much played it twice on the deal so that you could hear something maybe you didn't hear the first time around. But if you really want to, you know, listen to it in depth, just go over there to the Super Chat and click on the video link. But because of time, interest, and whatever, I'd like to just jump into this, because here's what you just heard. Essentially, they said they have a vaccine that is capable of vaccinating you against your belief side of your brain there. That's the simple of it. And this is scary for many reasons. One of the things is that the guy was asking him, are you suggesting that I take a CT scan out there and scan somebody before I decide whether or not to put a bullet in their brain? Contemplate on that just for a second. And first off, the whole concept of just the fact that somebody in this world would be, you know, in science community or research communities for military industrial complex, actually be contemplating and testing using viruses such as respiratory viruses, flu viruses, and stuff like that, and vaccinating people, or even an airborne virus, so to, you know, basically mass vaccinate people using this particular deal that would block out the portion of their brain that is associated with beliefs and such. Now, I especially want to talk to the atheist out there and anybody who doesn't necessarily subscribe to any type of religion. First off, I need to point out that nobody on this panel subscribes to an organized religion. We all have our own personal spiritual journeys that we travel, and those are our truths, and so that's what we do. But nonetheless, the word religion or religious, what's the words I'm looking for here? Fundamentalism. They call this the fun vax. Well, and it don't sound too fun to me. Nonetheless, that's what they call it. This is the fun vax program that they were talking about in the Pentagon. And don't forget about the man saying, are you suggesting that I take a CT scanner to check somebody before I decide whether or not to put a bullet in their head? Nobody has the right to be running around taking people's lives to begin with, as far as I'm concerned. But the worst portion of this deal is, you were born into this world as you. Everything that is you, you know, is in your mind and your body and your spirit, and as far as I'm concerned, nobody has the right authority to even contemplate on tampering with you. You're an individual. Now, to basically say that, we're going to vaccinate anybody against the potential beliefs of religious fundamentalism or anything like that, you gotta really seriously listen to what I'm saying here. And this is why I'm naming this podcast Listen Closely, because there's this thing that happens in governments all the time, even in crowds of people, happens all the time. You start off with something that sounds potential. This doesn't sound good to me at all, regardless. But to some people, this might actually sound like a good idea. Yeah, if we get rid of all the religious fundamentalism or beliefs in God or creator or, you know, divine entity or whatever, then, you know, that'll get rid of the people who want to go to war and, you know, fight over all this kind of stuff. I got news for you individuals out there that think that that's what a war is all about. There's a lot of things that people go to war for, most of which is greed and power and money and gold and silver and whatever, shiny things that they want, or power structure in itself. But nonetheless, what's to stop them from actually producing the vaccine now that they can get down to the point where they can hit your belief system to get you to say, well, you know, you can always trust your government. I love my government. I want it like this. I was born with free will, and I'd kind of like to keep a hold of my free will. I don't want anybody deciding for me what to believe or not to believe because they think that I could potentially be dangerous because I believe in, Jesus, that, that makes me dangerous. Or I believe in the Constitution, so that makes me dangerous. And so, that's all right. We'll just take you in here and give you a vaccine, and, you know, you'll be all right. You'll forget about all that kind of stuff. Well, what's to stop them from also vaccinating you against remembering any atrocities in the past? You know, there's all kinds of technology available today. What's to stop them from actually rewriting your history in your brain where you have a whole completely different life that you never led, but you believe it to be the truth because it's in your brain? See, I'm not trying to put this out there to start a paranoia, a scare, or fear like that. It's something that you really seriously got to contemplate on, because this doesn't just happen with people like this, all right? This happens with average Joes trying to quite literally indoctrinate one another. You know, none of us have actually been there a couple thousand years ago to actually see what was going on back then. None of us has actually been to space that I know of, and none of us have actually seen, you know, things, firsthand. And so all of us have to quite literally question, and especially in this day and age when misinformation and propaganda is flowing so freely, we got to be discerning in all the information that is presented to us so that we can question it. But even at that, if you don't have the choice to believe in whatever it is that you choose to believe in from whatever information that you were presented with, whatever journey you've been down, if somebody else has the basically the kill switch, the on and off switch to your belief system, and you can't even believe for yourself, even if you're a non-believer in a higher power, you still should be concerned. Because you believe that there ain't no God, and so what's to stop that once they flip that switch off, you don't even know. You know, your beliefs don't matter anymore. You don't have that anymore. You've been vaccinated against your own personal beliefs, which in my mind, everything that is you, in your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, is yours. It was yours the day you were born. It should be yours up until the day you die, and from that point on, or whatever. And nobody should have the right to tamper with it. And then to say that we can spread this virus, you know, airborne or, you know, through vaccines that would basically immune somebody, are you going to have the option to sign a consent form or give your verbal consent that say that, yeah, I would like to be vaccinated against, you know, religious fundamentalism. Can't even say it. It's so bad. But, you know, are you going to have that option to say, no, you know, I don't want this. Or, you know, the fun back. I don't, fun vax is what they said. I don't want it. I don't want somebody manipulating my mind chemistry-wise or, you know, mechanical-wise using, you know, mind control technology and stuff like that. Because where does it stop? If I decide one day that I don't trust my government, which is today and yesterday and probably about 100,000 days before that, I don't trust my government because their track record stinks. They ain't always been there to represent me. Granted, they might have helped me out once or twice trying to get what they wanted or whatever, I don't know. But as far as their overall track record of what the government's actually done for me or my family or the country or the world in general, their track record stinks. And there's a lot of history that gets covered up because of that stinky track record. But here we go. We got a government entity in the Pentagon having a meeting about a possibility to vaccinate people against religious beliefs or fundamentalism. And in the process of this deal, the guy's actually saying, well, so are you suggesting that I take a CT scanner out there and scan these individuals before I make a decision to put a bullet in their head? And the other guy's pretty much telling them, well, this vaccine to cure that. So you wouldn't probably, he didn't say this, but that you can see where I'm going. You wouldn't have to put a bullet in your head because you could just turn them into a normal person. All right, what is normal? And who decides what is normal? Do you decide what is normal? Does your brothers and sisters out there decide what is normal? What if the crowd thinks that you're abnormal? What if the crowd doesn't like your belief system? What if they decide that they need to turn you into the man so that you can get vaccinated against your religious beliefs? So am I to say that if I'm a Christian, I'm dangerous enough that I should go in and turn myself in and get vaccinated because I got that religious belief system? What if my belief system isn't religious? What if my belief system is just spiritual? What if my belief system is that I don't trust anybody that doesn't presented me with truthful information that can be verified? So now I got to choose what to believe and not to believe, but I can't choose what to believe and not to believe because I've been vaccinated against this. And you as a non-believer should really seriously be concerned about it, because if you don't want the government's hand in your personal life, if you don't want the government's trying to tell you what religion you can believe or not believe, you don't want them to manipulate with your brain whatsoever, you should really seriously be concerned that there are entities that would even have a discussion such as this. I don't want nobody giving me a vaccine for nothing. unless I know exactly what it's for, how it's made, what the purpose of it is, and it can be verified. Well, I don't see a lot of verification coming in, any information coming from any direction these days. So, you know, Stephen said in the chat room, so is cancer genetic or is it a disease? They need to make their mind up. Trick question, is it a fungus or a majority? And he also said, we need to stop telling people what to do, to say, or think. Vaccine for the, you can't say that, better than you are wrong, MK Fantasia, is that what it said? Yeah, that's what it said. Anyway, I hope you can get the implications of what it is I just said, and what was in that podcast. On one hand, you got the Pentagon guy who's got the power over life and death because he's going to make a decision whether or not to put a bullet in your head by whether or not he believes you to be a religious fundamentalist or not, that you might possibly strap a bomb to yourself and go blow somebody up. You know, that you might be trying to overthrow the government or something like that. So we're going to vaccinate you so that this isn't a possibility, that this isn't something that can happen. And, you know, otherwise, you know, the alternative would be a bullet in your head. I find it to be really disturbing, both sides of the fence. And, like I said earlier, I really seriously find it disturbing that any scientific entity would even be researching into the possibility of being able to vaccinate people to quite essentially tamper with your brain. You know, if you're raised up in a community, you know, of any spiritual journey or belief system or whatever, and suddenly the government or people deem that that could potentially be dangerous, it's all right. We'll just take you to the doctor and we'll get you this vaccine. Or if we think that there's a mass breakout of beliefs going on through the land, we'll just fly our little planes over there and spray down some, you know, some flu virus or respiratory virus or whatever to have you spread this this gene-altering vaccine to all your brothers and sisters around here. Now nobody believes in nothing. They don't believe in anything. And my biggest issue about the whole deal, well, it's not my biggest. I got so many issues about this mess that I could probably do a 10-hour show on it or longer. But one of the things that really bothers me about the whole deal is that, first off, anybody was contemplating on it to begin with, that they actually had a meeting in this room about the deal. And I don't want anybody having that kind of power over me.
Especially who are those people, I don't even anyway? Know.
Well, in this particular video, it's a Pentagon, you know, military.
Oh, those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the evil cabal over there, the Pentagon. So, how can we control people more? And, oh, you know, by the way, this God thing is kind of in our way because it gives people faith and it gives them power, it empowers them, and trust and faith, and they're, you know, we can't work the way we need to work with them.
Yeah. And if they can just fly over and give you a flu that you spread to everybody and his brother, suddenly nobody believes. And the point I was trying to get to, but my brain just went sideways. Maybe they already sprayed me. But the point I was trying to get to is that if, doggone it, it just happened again.
Well, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to say they already have a vaccine or a what do you want to call it, a vaccine and a spray that causes hopelessness and helplessness. So,
oh, that's it. That's it. That's what I was wanting to, is that if you, doggone it, it just happened again.
Are they messing with you?
The words I was trying to get.
Helpless, I mean, hopeless, faithless. Throw out a few for you.
I can't believe that. Three times in a row, I'm trying to get this message out, and it just... It was like,
well, you've been drinking too much water with fluoride in it, because that's what that does to you.
Yeah, it's probably some lead, too.
Well...
It'll hit me again, and I'll just have to blurt it out.
But Shaziz, I got a question about that, because if they have a vaccine to not to make you not believe in God and everything else like that, then how can the government start a war in the name of God if we don't believe in it?
I got it. Not believing in God. That's it. I got it. Okay. It finally there, and I'm gonna get it out before it's gone. Alright, so if nobody out there anymore, because belief has been eradicated with this virus that has been spread like the plague via the flu or any whatever kind of dengue fever or whatever, and so nobody believes in any kind of higher power, so now that would scare me more than anything else in the world, because I don't fear Christians, I don't fear Buddhists, I don't fear Hindus or any Muslims or anybody of any specific faith. And the only ones that I fear would be the ones that, you know, take their faith and distort it to go out and do terrible things. But for people to not believe in anything, that to me seems to be more dangerous than people believing in a God, because, like for me, example, I believe in the Ten Commandments, and so I'm not going to go out and be wanting to kill people or steal from them or nothing like that, but suddenly you don't have any kind of belief that there's any kind of, you know, afterlife or potential judgment, you know, that you might be questioned for the life that you led or whatever. Did you see my point there, anybody?
Well, there is a God gene, you know. I just looked that up. There are some scientists who believe that there is a God gene, you know. I don't know because, you know, somebody, well, Stephen put in the chat about, is there a cancer gene? And I've discussed this before, and I don't believe there's a cancer gene. I believe that's just a ploy to get, and this is true, by the way, to scare women to get mastectomies, double mastectomies. They don't even have cancer, but the doctors are telling them, well, you have this cancer gene because your mother or your grandmother or your great-grandmother had cancer, so guess what? We're going to save you. We're going to take, you know, well, both of your breasts off. We suggest this because then you'll be free of cancer. The gene will be won't work with you. Is that crazy or what?
That's insane.
It's true though.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, you know, in the alternative medicine community, there are all kinds of things out there, and they're well researched and scientifically factual information out there that shows all kinds of alternative medicines that, you know, fight off free radicals and stuff like that, that, you know, actually can cure cancer. But,
well, yeah, you're right, but do you remember you said the other day, I can't remember the woman's name, and this is true, I totally agree, that disease just doesn't happen.
Yeah, Lorraine Day. That's
Lorraine Day.
She wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen.
So I want to just respond to what Two Dog's question was, because he said that if they take remove the belief in God or a creator, then what about when these warmongers say, well, you know, we have to, in the name of God, God told me that we have to go to war, or God said this to me and now I'm telling you, and so on, then people wouldn't believe it. They'd say, well, I'm not going to war for... There is no God, so I'm not going to war, and you're a wackadoodle because you just keep telling me this God or somebody keeps speaking to you.
So then you'd have to vaccinate the government so they wouldn't believe in God.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Well, possibly. Let's look at it this way. I mean, if you were trying to move the herd into a new civilization based on total control, then you would have to do away with independent thought. You would have to do away with independent belief systems, because as long as humanity is able to create a belief in something other than government, then they have a fight on their hands.
Yeah.
If we look at what's happening today in our political system, they are blending religion with politics now. They are blending race with politics now. They are blending all of these things together so that when they say war is caused by, they can answer and say by the human mind and its ability to fanaticize, to opine. So once they can create a system that will introduce their way of doing things, in other words, if we become automatons, if we simply go with the flow, whatever we're told, take this pill today, take that pill tomorrow, then everything works for them, right?
Yeah, sounds like George Orwell's 1984 book there, you know, because now you not only have thought police, but you actually have a cure for any kind of free will or belief system. I want to ask, how many people out there really want to live in a world where you can't even choose what to believe in? Seriously. If you're,
that's sort of happening.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we're really in that mix right now. That's obvious.
What about those people that believe in, you know, like gay rights and all the different, you know, there's like a real long label of a whole bunch of different transgender, ex-gender, whatever, you know, people that don't want to be called male or female and so on down the line. What if that's a portion of the belief thing? And so what you believe in, that you think everybody should be, you know, their own particular individual, and you think, okay, well, let's get rid of the religious belief and suddenly, you know, we won't have any issues and we can believe whatever we want. Well, no, because that ain't how it works. Because when the virus spreads out there in the world, your belief systems go as well. You see what I'm saying? You want to talk about that one Star Trek guy that said, it's a trap. Well, yeah, it's a serious trap, because now you don't get to believe whether or not gay people have rights or not. You don't get to believe whether God is real or not. You don't get to believe that because it's gone. You've been vaccinated against it. You see what I'm saying? Pandora's box, once that box is open, it's indiscriminatory. That's why I kept telling everybody about bombs and drone strikes. Some people think, well, yeah, let's just go on bombing them into the Stone Age. Well, do you realize that next to that bad guy's probably some innocent guy or kid or gal or whatever? You know, bombs don't discriminate. They don't go in there and say, oh, okay, look, there's a bad guy, we'll blow him up and miss the other guy. No, that ain't how it happens. And so when they drop the belief bomb out there via their chemtrails or however else they want to do it, you know, spray it in the subway, that kind of stuff, and they're going to do it without your consent. They're not going to ask you if it's okay because it's for the better of all the people. They're just going to do it. And suddenly you don't believe in nothing. All right? So what are you now? The zombie apocalypse has begun, because now you don't got no choice. You don't believe in nothing. You don't have no free will to choose. Your choice was just snatched away from you with a man-made virus. And the fact that somebody would even contemplate on researching up such a subject in the science community, I wonder if while they were working on this particular virus, did they ever contemplate on the after effects of what could potentially go wrong with said virus? What if this virus...
Of course they did.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
What if it doesn't stop at your beliefs? What if it literally takes away your doggone mind, your free will thought process, to where you don't do anything but what... I think one of you guys said autonomous. Now you're just
autonomy. Well, sovereignty, I'd say.
Automatons.
Yeah. Oh, automatons. Yeah, we become. But they're already doing this, Shaziz. You know, we really know that they're already have been doing. You know, injecting us on many different levels with this mind controlling of our emotions, of our thoughts, of our beliefs. You know, this has been going on for quite a while. You know, that's just another layer. This belief. Whatever, attack the God gene, if there is such a thing. But what about our innate nature, you know?
Yeah.
We are born with an innate nature, you know, a connectedness.
But now you don't get that anymore. You don't have access to that anymore. You when the government says jump, you jump. And you just say, how high, you know? And I don't like that.
Well, let's look at it this way also. Okay, say somebody, you know, just goes to the hospital and has to have surgery. Okay, you have to have surgery. They give you stuff to knock you out while they do the surgery. How did you know they didn't do it?
Yeah.
Sometimes they haven't. Or they've taken out the wrong organ. What about that?
Yeah, I know, but...
Or they add things.
Right. While you're on the medical deal, let's mention this fact. There have been cases documented in history where a person has to have their leg amputated.
Oh yeah.
And so somebody made an error and wrote down the right leg instead of left leg, and then next thing you know, you had to have them both amputated because they took the wrong one off to begin with. So
that's been done.
Yeah. So you really want to trust a doctor tinkering around inside your head to put in this super microchip that's going to make you very, where you can jack right into the internet? Not me, man. Stay out of my brain.
I'm just saying that it's possible that could happen without your knowledge. Is the point?
Sure, it is.
Actually, there are people who think that would be awesome and wonderful.
Yes.
That they could be plugged into the system in such a way as the Matrix depicts in the movie. They think that would actually be a step up. There are people that think that if we could take our brains and put it in a machine, that we would be able to live forever and everything would be hunky-dory. We don't need to feel emotions. We don't need to feel touch or sensation. We just need to be plugged into the all of everything. People actually believe this.
Yeah, and it's really disturbing that people, they always talk about freedom. They always talk about free will and, rights and stuff like that. But once you're inside that matrix, what changed? You're no longer human anymore, all right? And so if somebody doesn't like you, there's a computer virus out there to set you straight. If somebody wants to manipulate what your mind is thinking, or they don't agree with your ideology or whatever, keep in mind you ain't got a belief system anymore. They done whacked that. So, what are you then? You're just a puppet. You're just another digital construct that they can mold and manipulate any way they want to further their agenda. Go ahead.
Think about this, that belief system that we use that tells us there is a creator and how we believe this creator is manifested in our lives, that's just one aspect of that belief system. That belief system also encompasses everything of our reality, the way we see reality, the way we react to reality is formed within those belief systems.
Yep.
So you take that out, and what is reality?
And compassion and empathy, they all go hand in hand with my spiritual beliefs, because I have compassion for my brothers and sisters because of the words that were embedded in my mind and heart because of, my particular spiritual journey. And so suddenly I don't believe in my creator anymore. Why should I be compassionate or even care about you for that matter? What would stop me from being a super soldier at that point? Because there ain't no consequences, according to my mind and my belief and my lack of belief now. There ain't no consequences to murder. I could go out there on the battlefield and it'd just be like a video game to me. I don't care. It ain't gonna make me feel bad when I do something terrible to somebody. It don't even matter if it's a child. I'll shoot that child just as fast as I shoot his mama and his daddy and all that, because I don't believe in God anymore. I don't have any, love or compassion in my heart. I'm just a machine. A hardcore killing machine. That's all I am anymore.
You're talking about the elimination of faith and of hope.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And of course the goodness in humanity, that is innate, because I believe that it is innate,
Yeah.
So it's like the elimination of hope, first of all. Then what happens to people who are hopeless? Faith, what do you turn to in the darkest time of the darkest night of the soul, they call it? Nothing. You have nothing. You feel hopeless.
Yeah.
And you feel helpless.
The fine line between us doing the right thing and the wrong thing, as far as I'm concerned, is embedded in my faith, my spiritual beliefs. And if that's gone, I could very well turn out to be a killer. You know? What stops me from killing somebody who angers me because, you know, suddenly they made me mad? Well, you know, I think my God said that I need to practice forgiveness and love and, you know, love thy neighbor or whatever and turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. So once that's gone, once the spiritual journey that I'm on ends and I'm just like a clone of what I used to be or whatever, without that, You see
where the danger is? Chaos ensues.
Yeah.
You know, madness, chaos, desperation, you know, all these things that actually we are seeing now. I don't know if they've already dumped that gene on, or that, you know, belief on us, or eliminating our that piece, but we see this happening. Chaos, degeneration, end of morals, the down the tubes of morals. The insane behavior, the violence, the hatred. I mean, all these things are, it's like a wash over the whole world happening here. I don't know. Maybe they've already put out that vaccine. I don't know.
Well, if they
Something's
did.
Something's going on.
If they did, thank the good Lord and Creator that
they
you.
Missed us.
Yeah, they missed us or were immune to the vaccine. Because
well, I'd like to believe we're immune to the vaccine.
Yep.
I'm going to go for that.
But my concern, like I said, it starts with the fact that, first off, a scientist was actually looking into that kind of research, all right? They ain't got no right to be doing that. And the second thing is that it was being entertained at a Pentagon training place where they're basically saying that they submitted a proposal to go out and spray this out in the public or via vaccinations that would take away anybody's religious fundamentalism.
And did they say why they were proposing this? What was the purpose to take away this religious fundamental? They're calling it fundamentalist.
Yeah, so somebody wouldn't be extreme enough to believe that God wants them to strap a bomb to themselves and run out there and blow people up, which sounds good on the surface. I mean, we don't want people blowing people up.
But that's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, but either way...
I mean,
This is a double-edged sword.
I got one question here. Why would they want people not to believe what they believe in?
Obviously, you're right. They believe in God enough to prevent people to want to prevent people from believing in God.
And if you know, and here's the thing: if people do not believe in God, then how can they start a war in the name of God in the first place?
Well, see, here's something that goes on and quite literally is unnoticed amongst even Christians. All right, there's two gods in the Christian religion. I don't know if anybody's aware of that, but there are two gods in the Christian religion. One is the god of this earth, which is Satan, quite literally. He's the god of the earth. He's the little g, and then there's the god in heaven. And people don't understand that Satan was basically given dominion down here on earth until certain things played out according to the way the scripture's written. And so basically the devil's down here running amok, just like what Paul Harvey said, if I were the devil. All right. So even in the Christian religion, people don't realize that quite literally Satan has been given, you know, the power to quite literally be God of the earth, chaos, all the different stuff that's going on out here. And so, who's to say that this particular belief system that you're going to be now eradicated from of it, now you look upon this guy over right here like maybe now, yeah, he really is God. This guy's powerful. He can do all kinds of miraculous things. I'm going to follow him, right? And now, you're quite literally following the devil. I mean, okay, sounds crazy, right? That couldn't happen. But, you know, the book did say that in the last days, a great deception would go over the land and even the elect would be deceived. What do you think of that?
I think that's already happened.
Well... then I think that maybe people ought to try to, like, you know, keep their eyes a little... Right now, I even see some of the people who supposedly awake to reality. I see their eyes drooping and nodding off, you know, and going back to sleep. And I'm like, this was done in 2005. This particular deal in this video was done in 2005. That's quite a while back, all right? But it should still be a concern and relevant today, especially with the chemtrail thing going on. You know, it's supposedly for global warming. But, hey, it ain't the first time that they have tested out vaccinations by mass spraying. I mean, we mentioned yesterday, I believe, on the Mad Science Show about how they used to drive through our neighborhoods with these trucks that sprayed out this fog to kill off mosquitoes. You see what I mean? Not just vaccinations, but, you know, pesticides as well. Chemicals in your toothpaste, chemicals in your doggone water, chemicals in your food, red dye number whatever, and yellow dye number whatever, saccharin, aspartame, all these different things that people in the health community have been shouting about for years that quite literally have the potential to scientifically go in your brain and block out certain things. Like lead poisoning, for example. The only reason why you get dumber when you get lead poisoning, and eventually too much lead poisoning will actually kill you, but the reason why you get dumber is because those little particles of lead are actually blocking the little signals in your brain that are telling your body what to do. And when these signals are shorting out, you're having seizures. All right, that's like if I send a signal across my brain to tell my hand to move and it's blocked out by a little piece of lead and that signal's deflected over to my other hand and my other hand's just shaking uncontrollably because I'm trying to send a signal to the right but it ain't going, it's going to the left. Does that make any sense to anybody besides me?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, right now you got, you with myself, right? You got nerve diseases that I've got right
now. Yep.
From all the fighting I've had to do when I was a kid. So that brain thing works too, and my brain tells me to move my left leg, but it's already moving.
Yep.
But it's moving while I'm sitting.
Well,
it's that way.
I don't know about you two, dog, but I want them to stay out of my brain.
Well, here's the thing. I've been, how I say it, in my area, I've been dangerous for 54 years because of my spiritual beliefs.
Yep.
And some actually tell me, oh, you're going to hell because you're traditional.
Well, I would never tell you that because according to what I was taught was that I'm not supposed to judge you. I'm not supposed to try to do anything but shine my light and spread my good word. That's it.
That's true. But there's a whole lot of people that say, you know, they believe in the Ten Commandments and God is the only one they can judge, but they judge all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you have to explain that as a traditionalist what that really means, okay, because there was the deliberate separation of the people, the Indian people, our First Nations people, because of our strong belief in Creator, Great Spirit. And also, not only that belief, but that the earth is a living being, that all of nature exists with a spirit embodied, that we are sacred children, that newborn little people are sacred. So all these spiritual beliefs was not a religion. I guess it's a religious behavior, I suppose. I don't know. We could discuss religion, but to me, I don't like to use that term religion because it basically connects us to the organized religions, which I disagree with because organizing people takes away our sovereignty and telling me how to pray, because I grew up Catholic, telling me how to get to God, some man in a dress standing in front of me.
Yep.
You know, so our traditional way was an earth way or one in relationship to all of creation is sacred. And so if you believe that, then you would be against clear cutting of the forest. You would be against, you know, pollution. You would be against drilling into the Mother Earth. You would begin, you know, be against all this. So what separated your people or our people was organized religion.
Exactly.
So you have Methodists, Protestants, Catholics, and who knows all else on that category basically telling you, a traditionalist, that you are going to go to hell.
Yeah. And not to mention
your own
that.
People. It's your own people. This is the division, the separation that was deliberate, and they continuing in all across the board is keeping us separate.
Not to mention that the man standing between you and your creator, which is not necessary for the man standing in between you and your creator as supposedly your advocate to your creator, which that ain't the way it's supposed to work. That man is the one that told everyone else to go out there and burn these people because they were perceived to be witches practicing witchcraft.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
was the guy
well,
that
so
did
my,
it. It wasn't
I
God.
I feel like my spiritual connectedness, okay, I was born with that. That's innate within me. I'm only speaking about myself. And when I was a child, of course, I had to go to Catholic school, I had to go to Catholic church, I had to be organized because I was a free spirit, I was a sovereign being. And that's the whole premise here that we're talking about, is organizing the people to become what is necessary for them to do what they need to do. So, but yet, as a child, my innate nature told me that when I sat in that church and when I heard the priest or the Monsignor or saw the behavior of the people, that something wasn't right here. When I was told that we are born with original sin, when the nuns told me that, and God loves you because you are a child of God, but he will punish you and send you to hell if you don't straighten out, my innate nature told me something is very wrong with here.
Well, my whole deal is, like I said before, folks, I call myself a Christian because I subscribe to words of whether or not the man was either the Son of God or whether he was a myth or a fairy tale, whatever. The words that came out of his mouth, the actions and the ultimate sacrifice. This is why I call myself a Christian, because I subscribe to those particular words and the beliefs that, you know, thou shalt not kill and so on down the line. Right? But as far as any organized religion, I don't need any man in a fancy suit or up on a stage to help me pray to my creator. I don't need that. And if they're putting themselves above the congregation, to me, they're in the wrong, because we're all supposedly created equal in the eyes of God. All right, so I don't like the idea that the pastor stands up on the pedestal and sits there and talks to all the people and tries to tell them about the Word of God, which, if anything at all, he should humble himself before the congregation and be on his knees telling the people about the Word of God, because he is supposed to be a servant to those people, not a master or any better or any worse, for that matter, to those people. But you take that belief system completely out of the picture. Nobody goes to church anymore because they don't believe in nothing. All right? You want to think about a world of chaos? If people don't believe there's any kind of nothing, no kind of afterlife, no kind of spiritual journey, no kind of difference between right and wrong, because the things that keep me from doing rotten things, because I get angry just like everybody else, I'm human. The things that keep me from doing rotten things is my faith. My faith in my Creator. And
well,
the words that were told.
To me, the most magnificent, awesome cathedral is right outside your door.
Yeah.
That's the real thing. Right there.
Jesus said that anytime two or more people come together in my name, there shall I be also. So that means church is underneath the apple tree. You know?
That's right.
So, I don't need no multi-million-dollar building.
To be honest, this is the Creator has a teaching tool under every leaf and rock.
Well, I believe it. I've learned more from nature in the last couple of years than I can possibly explain. I mean, I developed some sort of connection with this land that I'm standing on and with nature itself. I mean, I wrote a story about it, about a turtle named Goliath. And you know, it was a spiritual journey of epic proportions that brought me to my knees in tears, and not just tears of sadness, you know, regret of past mistakes. It also brought me to tears of joy because I feel like I've finally seen the truth of this world. That what we're doing to this world, it's terrible what we're doing to this world. What we're doing to each other, it's even worse. And I see that there's a possibility that we can fix it. If we quite literally, start working in harmony with one another and this world, this earth that we live on, I've watched as I've been blessed by the land that I'm standing on just for my efforts at trying to clean this land up. Does that make any sense to anybody beside me?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. The thing about it is, you know, you're doing something to better the land. You're trying to help the land. So in that aspect, the land gives back.
Well, and it has. It's gave back in abundance. And I noticed that the wildlife, which used to kind of be scarce, they're not afraid of me anymore. You know, I can stand 5 feet away from a deer out here, and it's almost as like they're tame, like your average house cat or dog, and they're not afraid.
Well, you know, in the mornings I go out with my chinupa, and I give prayers up in the morning, every morning. And in the morning I got 5-6 head of deer just in my backyard while I'm there.
Yeah, well, I've seen
not running from me.
Wild turkeys come around in big old crowds, and I love watching the turkeys because they're funny to watch them walk around the way they do things. But turkeys and we even have like possums and raccoons that will actually come up and share food out of the cat food that we put out for the cats we got outside. And the cats are just sitting a few feet away. They're not bothered by it. They're eating.
Well, you know, here's what I think. This is just my mind, okay? Mankind has forgotten that they are part of nature in itself. And if you look at all of nature, it's not fighting. We're the only ones that are.
Yeah, you're right.
And we're part of this nature also. We're the caretakers here.
I believe that as well.
And if we're not caretaking, okay, we're getting away from what I call the system of the focus. Is that actually, I am part of this nature. I am the human being. Everything on this planet has being. The trees have being. The rocks have being. Everything has being. We are the human being. We're getting away from the understanding that we're no better than that. We're no better than that worm we just saw, you know, that's crawling on the earth, Mother. We're the same.
Somebody put a comment in the chat room yesterday during the Mad Science Show, because we kind of touched on spiritual journeys and such. But they put a comment in there that said something about this podcast sounding cultish or whatever. But I got to point something out here. You know, there's people of different faiths sitting on this panel. And there was different people of different faiths sitting there yesterday on the panel. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a cult is pretty much, you know, you get people to believe your way and only your way. And you see what I'm saying? But that's not what's happening here.
No. Because if you look at the show we're on right now, you got traditional people, you got Christian, you got, you know, and we're getting along and talking quite well. So I agree with you.
Yeah, we're just merely addressing issues and problems and finding solutions, but we're doing it together. That's the key. And
yes.
And I think, you know, we could have people of all faiths sitting on this same deal and still be able to recognize each other's, you know, spiritual journey without, you know, we can get work done.
Well, look at the rainbow prophecy that is actually happening just here, to be honest. Even on the show. You know, we got different people here.
Yep.
But we are agreeing in a lot of ways.
Well, this whole deal about being able to put a virus out there to take away somebody's beliefs, fundamentalism is one of the terminologies they use. It's scary, and you, the fact that this one particular deal in this Pentagon says, well, you know, so are you saying I should take a CT scanner and scan their brain before I decide whether or not to put a bullet in their head?
Well,
doesn't anybody besides me see how wrong that is?
Well, can you imagine, especially in American government, no disrespect, but how many bullets have they already done that with?
Well, I don't think that anybody has that right to do that anyway. You know, there's a difference between defense, when you got to defend yourself, and you have no other choice but to put somebody down because of the danger that they present. You know, they're going to take your life. You know, it's either you or them or your family or them. You know, even under those circumstances.
Now, we got two grandmothers here. So what I'm going to say, you know, is key for being here, grandmother. And one of the things I want to say is, you know, what I'd like to try, I try to do in my life is to live it by the law of one, do no harm to nothing and no one. I try desperately to do this.
Yep.
But here's my point. I will do that. But if somebody breaks into my house to hurt my family, that's a different story.
Yeah.
I am going to defend.
That's what I'm
but
saying.
But I'm not going to go out to start it, but I am going to defend if they get in my home.
But because somebody deems somebody else to be a religious fundamentalist doesn't mean you want to walk out there and put a bullet in their head. Maybe you want to walk out there and try to find out, you know, what their beliefs is, you know. Maybe you figure out a way that you guys can work together without, you know, strapping a bomb to somebody and doing...
Well, you know, I've been sitting with people from Wiltshire and England and Mexico. Matter of fact, Mexico culture, oh my God, it's beautiful. So, you know, we're understanding that we're the human being here. It may be different, but human-wise, we're the same.
Yep. Well, to take away that portion of somebody's mind, to me, it seems to be more dangerous than it would be to allow them to believe what they want. You know, of course, in society, we have laws, all right? And, you know, laws were basically to kind of keep everybody safe and in order, you know, and everything goes by fine, you know. I think there could be a potential of a world where you didn't really need laws because people didn't want to hurt each other. But I don't want it to come about via somebody forcefully vaccinating me and my family and all my future generations into not even having the free will of choice to choose which information to believe in and which information to not believe in. I think that everybody should be discerning in any information that they get. They should use wisdom and common sense to try to find the truth. But how can you seek the truth if you're already told that for your security purposes and everybody else's, we're going to give you this particular vaccine so that you don't waste your time believing in a fairy tale such as a god?
Yeah,
exactly. You have to look at what the beliefs give people, you know, how we function in our lives. If you have a belief in something greater, far greater than yourself, all of the things that you have to look at, what are those beliefs? How do they, how does society function, then with those beliefs? You know, I think one thing that we talk about is free will. And, free will, of course, is a consciousness. It's an awareness of your behavior, of the choices that you make or are not going to make.
Yep.
So we were all given this peace. This is innate within us, this free will. I believe Creator gave us that gift of free will or choosing. So, you know, when you have, if you have a belief in a greater being, an omniscient being, whether you want to call it God or a great spirit or Wakantanka or Gichimanitu, it does not matter. How do you live according to those beliefs? How do you function? What are those? What relates to these beliefs in a greater being? You know, when we talk about, well, you know, it's written in the Bible, you know, the Ten Commandments or whatever, you are given free will to believe in those, choose what, you know, what is the good road or the bad road, if you want to call it that, or light or dark. And this is about the spiritual connectedness and the spirit that is embodied within us. So if you don't believe, or you're vaccinated to not believe in an omniscient being, then you basically don't even believe that you yourself are a being of sacredness, that you have a spirit embodied within you. You become a blank slate, I guess you'd say, right?
Yeah, you could be a super soldier.
You could be a super soldier, and you could be manipulated with anything in any way that anybody chooses to affect you.
Yep.
And I think this, of course, is being done to us. I don't think the vaccination thing with the Pentagon thing is anything new. I think it's pretty abominable and atrocious and shocking, but I'm not so shocked, actually, because we've been talking here for years about the manipulation of our minds and so on, through varying methods.
I want to point something out. This is from a personal experience that me and my wife had noticed. her mom and dad live a couple hours from where we're at. And we live not in the city. We kind of live out in the country, but we're surrounded by cities. And we're surrounded by cell phone towers and all that kind of technology and stuff like that. And we had noticed one time, because all the time while we're in this particular area, seem to be more prone to being irritable towards one another. And the further we get out away from town, when we get about 10, 15 miles outside of, where we start getting into the open lands and more into farming country where there's fewer technologies and stuff like that, her and I seem to bond better. We seem to get along better. And the farther we get out, when we finally get all the way out to her mom and dad's house, which they live out there on 360 acres, and they have no cell towers even remotely close. As a matter of fact, it's aggravating, because if you want to get a cell phone signal, you know, you got to go stand up on one leg on top of this hill and tilt to the right or something like that to try to get at least one bar. But nonetheless, when we're out there in that circumstance, we are happy, we're comfortable, we're not irritable. And then I notice that on the way back, the closer we get to the town, the more cranky we become. Now,
yeah,
that's normal.
That should
say
something.
I experienced that here too. You know, it's like that's why I call our land here, 103 acres, Owl Ridge, I call it our sanctuary. Because once I leave here, if I have to go out into the town or whatever, I start to feel the shift of the energy. You know, very palatable, very strong.
Yeah.
And it's gotten more so, actually. And it's exhausting. I feel that we feel this drain of our energy.
Yeah.
And we feel uneasy. And sort of I feel like I'm in some, I've entered into some kind of a zone that puts me in the sense of, I don't know, I feel sometimes like I'm dragging along, or I'm even dizzy or trying to keep my focus, and I'm having difficulty keeping my focus. It's very strong.
Yeah. And, you know, you feel different. You definitely feel different in that environment as opposed to what you do out there. There's blatant obvious. I challenge anyone out there listening to this radio show, give it a test. You know, you might live in a city, jump in your car or friend's car and just do a test and go drive out as far as you can get out away from the city and see if you notice any noticeable difference in how it is that you actually feel.
Well, speaking of this, giving a test, so we're talking about mind control from all areas in our life, the water, the air, the food, you know, we're talking about this, the waves of energy, the electromagnetic waves, the cell towers, the cell phones that you have attached to your body. So I always say to people, you know, do a test. If you don't think that you're mind controlled or being mind controlled, see if you can change your routine, number one. The typical routine that you get up with, maybe the first thing you do is you sit on the side of the bed, or even don't get out of bed, and you check your cell phone. you know, and you attach it to yourself and you go about your business, you know, making your coffee, your breakfast, whatever, and you sit down and there you are glued to that or the computer or whatever, see if you can change your routine. Leave your cell phone alone. Don't put it by your bed, you know, put it in the drawer. Let go for a day and see what happens to you. See how you feel, right?
Yep.
Just saying.
Well, it's worth the test because, you know, we already know that everything, even as simple as a sound wave, can be effective on, you know, physical reactions on the human body, such as some people really are immune to it. But for me personally, when I hear fingers go down a chalkboard, it sends a cold chill up my spine. It gives me a physical reaction. I can't even touch chalk. It drives me insane because every time I heard somebody's fingernails going down there or the chalk squeaking across the chalkboard, it just sends a scree up the back of my mind. So I'm actually getting a physical reaction from a sound being generated by a piece of chalk going there or fingernails going down a chalkboard.
Now, I want to talk about that because you brought up this is a very important thing. Okay, so you are controlled, you are mind controlled with that situation. Basically, the chalkboard, somebody scraping their fingers on the chalkboard has mind controlled you to feel like, you know, you can't handle that. You react to it.
Yeah.
We have that daily in our life. So you can, here's what is important for us to learn, how we are subjected to certain triggers or imprints, right? And there's many of them, by the way. So, for instance, a lot of people, there could be riding along in their car, you know, minding your own business, but somebody is up on your rear end there, close to you, you know, pushing with their car.
Yeah.
Now, you have two choices, okay? You will have an immediate reaction, but you have to, usually people get annoyed, right? Right away you're triggered up to get annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the way that we are imprinted with things. Now you have to come into your own, your own self-control, I'd call it, or conscious awareness of what is going on with you. What are you feeling? You know, or you might see somebody on the roadside who's standing there, a homeless person, you might see someone standing there kind of, they don't have very, you know, not well dressed, you know, they might be a little raggy or maybe they have a bag of their stuff or their whole belongings there, or they might have a shopping cart filled with their stuff, and you're going to be triggered to have a reaction toward that person.
Yep.
These are imprints, so you have to be aware of what you are imprinted with and how they cause you to react in certain ways in life. Thought imprints. Oh, that person, wow, look at that scruffy person, or look at that creepy person, or wow, what a low life. So I'm talking about the imprints that we have that we don't even know of, we're not even aware, you know. If somebody says something to you, you have a normal reaction, you know, immediately you jump into a reaction. We have an increase in a lot of road rage lately. People are off the charts with their road rage,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the guy behind you blasting his horn gets you enraged, and now you want to fight with the dude.
Well, not only that, but they're driving in front of people and stopping the people, jumping out of their cars. And
yeah.
punching people out. So I just want to say, continue this, because we see these spikes in people, how they are being mind controlled and they don't even know it. But we again have free will. We have a choice. You can be aware how you are mind controlled with just these simple imprints that just pop up like somebody's pushing a button. Well, they are pushing a button.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Shaziz, I can actually add to that, you know, because even to myself, I'm that way too. I'm mind controlled too, because truthfully, I've never met a good police officer ever. I mean, I went to town, sitting on the park bench, right?
Yep.
Then they stop and ask me what's wrong with me. You know, or I quit drinking at 20, and every day for 13 years. They stopped me trying to say I'm DUI and I'm sober to judge. And then I got one that actually pulled me over, got out of his car, you know, wanting my license and everything, and actually told me, do you know you went 36 and a 35?
Ah, 1 mile over. Oh, man. Hey, that's not, don't surprise me in the least at all. But there's some people out there right now that are doing what they call First Amendment auditing, where they're going out and they're filming the police and testing to see which one of them are going to respect their First Amendment, their right to film and take photos in public with anything that they can visually see in public. According to the court, it's legal for them to do that. But they've been going out there testing the waters with the police. And, you know, at one point I was thinking, you know, they're just agitating the cops. But then the more I got to watching and paying attention to it, this is a necessary deal in order for people to ensure that their rights are respected. Because if you listen to some of the things that come out of law enforcement mouths, it'll blow you away. Not only are they disrespectful with their language to people, the way they talk to you, but they are also ignorant of the laws of what people's rights are. And God forbid if you even remotely mention the Constitution. Oh, you're one of those constitutionalists. Well, hold on a second there, officer. You swore an oath to that Constitution, and now you're upset because I'm exercising my rights via that Constitution? See, there's a problem there. When the man that's holding the gun, when the man that's holding a gun and the pepper spray and the billy club and the handcuffs and has power to arrest you for committing a crime, doesn't even respect the Constitution that he swore an oath to, I say we got a serious issue going on. And they wonder why that people don't trust the police. That's why.
Here's one of the situations I actually got into, okay? And it wasn't of my choosing. I went in to listen to the music. That was the main deal. And actually ordered a Coke in a bar.
Yep.
Okay, and I'm sitting there drinking a Coke. 5 officers come in, walk past me, turned around, handcuffed me, took me out the door, and said I was the splitting image of the guy that was raping people in that area. Okay? I was 5'8", 130 pounds at the time. Okay? The guy they were looking for was 6'2", 185 pounds. But they got me.
Well, I understand how that is, because there's been multiple times in my life that I have literally had guns drawn on me, and they're like out there, they got the guns pointed at me, and they're saying, get out of the car, get out of the car, keep your hands where you can see them, and all this, and talk about emptying your pockets out on the back of the car and all that kind of stuff. I'm sitting there at gunpoint because of mistaken identity. And, you know, when it's all said and done, we don't ever get no, hey, you know, I'm sorry for the mistaken identity. Didn't mean to scare you like that. We just, we had a burglary up the street and you kind of did something like they did or whatever. Or the one time where, yeah, listen to this story. I was driving down the road in my car. And about a month or two prior to that, I was by the ball stadium, and somebody sideswiped my car and messed my fender up. All right, well, that was a month or two ago. Well, I'm driving down the road in my car, minding my own affairs, and the next thing I know, this police car flies past me, slams on the brakes, slides sideways right up from me. I locked my tires up, and I came not more than maybe 6 inches away from cramming the side of that police car with the front of my car. And next thing you know, there's other cop cars surrounding me. They're all out with their guns drawn. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Keep your hands where I'm seeing them. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I wasn't even speeding. All right. And so they're over there, and this one lady cop, she says, well, you was just involved in a hit and run accident. And I said, what? She said, yeah, well, how'd you get that dent in the side of your car over there? And I said, you go over there and you take a real good close look and inspection on there. You'll notice that there's rust on that deal where I had to pry the fender off my tire because some idiot ran into me down by the ball stadium. And but about that time, some lady in a pickup truck, who I guess was the other vehicle involved in the same car or the same accident, pulls up and she says, oh no, that's not the car. The one that hit me didn't have a light on the antenna. So the cops turn around. They leave me standing in the middle of the road, get in their cars, and drive off. Nobody ever says, you're free to go. Sorry about the confusion or anything like that. Meanwhile, I got a crowd of people standing over at Quick Trip and the auto parts store all looking at me like, what the heck did you do, man? And I'm like, I have no idea. They said, well, I was involved in a hit and run.
It's across the board, you see. This is what I'm talking about. These imprints are across the board. The imprints of a person of color, the imprints of how you're dressed, the imprints of what kind of car you're driving, the imprints, you know, of not to be basically a human or have a consciousness or connectedness or relationship with others. It's judgment, quick judgments, reactions, imprints of how people look or what they're doing or how they're walking or the color of their skin or, well, go around the board here, what religion they are, how their house looks, you know, what they're eating, are they homeschooling their kids, you know, this is a whole imprint happening here. You know, they're showing pictures of people who specifically putting this out, you know, people who are homeschooling are trash people, you know, their kids are playing in the mud with diapers on, or they're being subjected to being chained into their bedrooms and violated and malnourished, you know, that's the most recent one. So there you go, a homeschool imprint, you know, if you were homeschooling, this is who you are, period, that's it.
Sure.
If you are a person of color or your hair is long or your clothes are scruffy, imprint. You're the type of person across the board. There's no communication. There's no relationship. There's no connectedness. There's no humanness. There's just imprints about how people treat you. The police are the same way. The police get these imprints. Same way, there's no humanness. There's no connectedness. There's no heart connectedness here. It's all across the board. You know, you could just name anything we're involved in,
yeah,
and there you go. We're all imprinted with these reactions and behaviors and thought processes and so on to behave toward people, to act towards people, to have this belief and attitude toward people. There you go. It's across the board, folks.
And the outcome is George Orwell's 1984, where you get arrested for, because they believe that you might potentially commit a crime. You may do this, so we're going to have to arrest you.
Well, or you have already committed a crime. It's not even that you might. It's that you are.
Yeah.
You have. You have committed a crime because of your color of your skin or the way your hair looks or the what clothes that you're wearing or the car you drive or the way you live or if you're an organic eater or farmer or if you drink raw milk, don't vaccinate your children, you know, if you homeschool, if you don't go to church, everything I'm telling you. So everybody, you know, has imprints. Well, everybody. We're talking here, we all have imprints too.
Yeah.
But you have to get smart. We have to get smart about what is really going on. And when you talk to people, basically, and tell them this is happening and so on, if your reaction is that's impossible, that can't be true, do some research and find out if, in fact, what we're saying is true or not. Don't take our word for it. You know, we're talking about our personal experiences and the research that we've done on things and so on. You know, we're not advocating that you believe everything we're saying, but this is really serious, what we're talking about. And if you have a knee-jerk reaction of doubt or, you know, these are a bunch of nutcases, conspiracy nutcases. If you have that knee-jerk reaction, check up on yourself.
Yeah. Go out there and check the validity of this video and see if it really seriously came from the Pentagon. The link is in the chat rooms out there. You can click on the video, watch the video, and then go track it back to find out whether or not this was a real live event that happened at the Pentagon. And listen to the words. That's the whole key. A lot of people hear, but very few people actually listen closely to what's being said. The guy says, should I take a CRT machine, whatever that mind scanning thing out there, to scan somebody before I decide whether or not to put a bullet in their head? Seriously, do you agree with that?
Are they putting bullets in heads all the time? That's the point.
Yeah. And this is a government that's supposedly out there to protect you. And even if this government is there to protect you, but they're on a foreign land doing this to somebody else, is that something that you can agree that is
I
right?
Don't,
look, most people have an imprint about people of color. And if you don't, check up on yourself. Most people have an imprint about people who are severely overweight. If you don't think you do, check up on yourself. Your knee-jerk reaction when you see a person like that. Okay, the same thing across the board. You know, we are all imprinted, and this is what we're talking about. The police are imprinted about people of color. We know that's true. Maybe there are some more conscientious police out there, and I know that there are, but the majority of the police are imprinted against people of color. You know, let's just say, in the majority of cultures, everybody has these various imprints of how you look, what you do, how you live, what you eat, what car you're driving, what religion you are involved in or not. You know, I mean, this is across the board, and this is a system, this is a deliberate agenda controlling us all, and it's up to us basically to stop this madness in our own life and check up on yourself. Watch your knee-jerk reactions. Watch the impulses that you are subjected to when you see certain things or hear certain things or look at certain things. It's all across the board.
My imprint that I noticed in my own personal life, as far as people of color, is that whenever I'm in public and I come across somebody of a different race, I automatically get sort of defensive because I wonder what their perception of me is because of my color. I'm wondering, you know, are they going to think that I'm a racist, or are they going to think that I don't like people, or I look at people differently because of their color?
That's their imprint. That's their imprint. They've been imprinted too. Sorry.
So if they took the time to get to know me, I wouldn't have to explain that, you know, I have a black friend or...
You just said a perfect thing right there. If they and we took the time to get to know each other, like I always say, if we all sat down in a room with all different types of people from all different cultures, all different religions, yes or not, we would find out that we are really all the same.
Yeah,
we all really want the same thing.
They would see the love in our heart and our actions. That's it, you know?
Well, and we would see the love in their hearts, frankly.
Same thing.
We would see that they would really prefer to have a peaceful world. They don't want to be anxious and nervous and hating people and carrying on. They just want a peaceful life. They want something for their children just like we do. They want good food. They need clean water just like we do. We're all the same. I'm just saying, you know, we have to be very careful about what we're talking about, how the system has imprinted us in many ways to divide us, to separate us, to create these prejudices, this hatred and so on. And people, you know, talk about race. There is no such thing as race. That's an imprint too.
Yeah.
Oh, what race are you? You know, who are your people? Where do you come from? You know, all this is contrived.
Steve.
Your religion is not as good as my religion. My God is better than your God. You know, I know everything. You don't know nothing because look at the way you're dressed. You know nothing because look at you, look pretty sloppy.
Yeah.
You are a poor person. I'm a rich person. You know, you're beneath me. I've got it all. I'm privileged. You're not privileged. I'm higher than you on the scale of whatever. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. This is serious stuff. We need to stop this madness, and we need to get clear and straight on how we are being manipulated in all aspects of our lives, particularly to control us and to pit us against each other, not only as cultures, but as men and women. That's one of my favorite subjects. Yeah, pitting men and women together, you know?
Steven.
This false expectation of each other and this hatred and this rage against each other of men and women. This is also one of those big agendas. Let's keep everybody separated, fighting each other, so that we can do what we want with them.
Yep.
So we can keep hurting them and corralling them, because this is going on for centuries and millennia here, folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's true. And where are they corralling us into? That's a whole other subject. Where are they leading us to? That's a very important subject. What are we seeing now going on in our world, in the whole world? You know, we talk about Agenda 2130. If you don't know what that is, Google it, get clear on the false terror, terrifying everybody about global warming, but yet they give the problem, they create the problem, then they give us the solution. Let's put a shield up above the earth and that'll take care of everything. You know, we'll take care of you. Listen to us. We've got all the answers after we've created all the mess. We set it up so that you'll turn to us. because you have no rights, you have no conscious awareness, you are just dumb dad sheeple.
Yeah, Stephen Gibbons posted a comment in the chat room, said the problem is not judging others based on their actions, but prejudice, prejudging someone, preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. And May in there said, got a white unmarked plane overhead, listen to my village through phones and TVs, internet, fly by every 20 minutes, 24/7, 365. Does not show any county airport radar.
Yeah.
They hear
oh,
you.
Yeah.
They know.
They're listening. Guess what? They're listening to every word we say. Hi there, folks.
That's it, because you might potentially be a terrorist. You might potentially say something. So you're actually being suspected of a crime that you haven't committed yet. Just because of what you believe.
Since this. Now, seriously, what would make that police officer, just because I got a Coke out of a machine and walked over to the park and sat down on the park bench, have a guy say, what's wrong with me?
Well, you know, I think that out of his power, his head swelled up, his badge swelled up, he forgot his oath, and he decided to violate your rights and your personal space. Wasn't no reason for him to come over there. Now, I could understand if he was just like a human to human, one of curious, hey, how's it going, brother? Everything good? You know? I'm out here to help everybody, so
that would have been a whole lot better, yes.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that. Instead, it was an interrogation right out of the gate. And that's why I said that these people out there filming the police, it's a necessary deal. Because they're showing.
Me and my big mouth, I said, I'm fine. What's wrong with you?
Well, some of those people who have filmed the police doing atrocious things to others have been put in jail.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. But I want to just tell this story. I don't know why it came to my mind, but I was driving on a back road on my way to meet a friend at the movies, and I was a little late. I wasn't paying attention, and sure enough, a cop pulled me over, right? So I'm sitting there. I see him walking up to me, and I roll my window down like 3 inches, period. That's it. He comes up to me and I said, well, you know, what have I done? He said, well, you were going 45 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'm sorry that I'm just in a hurry and I didn't realize it. And, you know, he says to me, well, I want to see your license and your registration. And he says to me, and roll down your window and call me sir when you talk to me.
Oh, right? Boy, that's a touchy deal on me, because I'm telling you, according to current circumstances out here, you will never, ever, ever hear me call an officer, sir. You won't hear me call an officer. You won't even hear me call a judge, your honor. I will manipulate my words around ever having to address them. I will speak to them, but I won't ever give them that opportunity honor to say your honor or sir or officer, because as far as I'm concerned, until I know for a fact that they're honoring their oath, they're not honorable to me. They're not an officer when they're standing outside.
Well, what I said to this young punk, I said to him, excuse me? I said, I'm a woman here alone on a back road. I'm not rolling down my window, and I am not calling you sir. And by the way, what's your name and your badge number?
Yep.
So anyway, he gave me just a warning, one of those little warnings, and said, well, go on your way and just be careful. You know, so it's like here you are in a vulnerable position as a woman alone on a back road, and some cop comes along and tells me to roll my window down all the way and to call him sir.
Yeah, in this day and age, you don't even know if he's really a cop.
Exactly. Hello.
Well, you know, I gotta say it like this. You know, the late John Trudell did state that there will be a futuristic police state.
Well, I believe we're seeing it already.
To be honest, I think it's now.
I believe we're seeing it already. I think you're right, too, dog. You know, look, I'm not anti-government. I'm not even anti-police. If they're doing their job and following their oath and protecting and serving like they're supposed to be, that's one thing. But when you talk to a police officer and he doesn't even recognize the Constitution when you exercise your constitutional rights, and he mocks you, or, oh, you're one of those constitutionalists, that is a red flag to me. If they can't honor that Constitution that's supposed to be between us and the government, then the Constitution is flat out worthless at that point. He's not acting under his oath, and so as long as he ain't acting under his oath, he ain't acting honorably. Then I don't feel like, see, as far as I'm concerned, respect is earned. It's given and it's earned. And if they can't be respectful to me and allow me to make sure that my rights are protected by reminding them of their oath to protect that Constitution, if they get upset by it, then as far as I'm concerned, the moment they get upset by it, conversation's over, or they don't deserve the respect to be called sir or officer. Am I wrong in that?
Well, I think it should be respect. If he calls me sir, I'll call him sir back.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. But if he's going to, you know, you did this, bleep, bleep, and bleep, and, what the F were you thinking? And, like, who are you to be talking to me like that?
You talk to your family like that? I don't talk to mine like that.
Yeah. That's what they were saying when I got guns pulled on me. Get on the effing ground. Keep your hands where I can see them and bleep and bleep. And it just, the story didn't end there. It ended up being kind of humorous because if you knew me, I wear these pants and shirts that have all kinds of pockets in there. And because of my science and experiments, I'm always carrying around tons of junk. And so my friend, he pulled out his wallet and his comb and his keys, and that was it. It took me a long time to empty out all my pockets, and there was a big mound of tools and junk and electrical wire and tape and fuses and stuff like that on the deal. And the one cop who was doing all the cursing and raising the ruckus, talking about keeping my hands where I can see him, I pulled my coat back and I said, "I'm just reaching in for my toothbrush." And I pulled my toothbrush out and I dropped it on the top of that pile, and that cop sat down on his butt and began to laugh uncontrollably. I mean, I was never so happy to hear cops laugh in my life, because up until that point, it was all seriousness and gunplay, Now, like, why you carry all this stuff around in your pocket? And I said, "Well, I never know when you're going to need it,"
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I was humiliated to have to empty my pockets out for a crime I did not commit just because my friend forgot to turn his lights on before he hit the street. It matched what somebody did when they robbed a convenience store down the street. And so we suddenly are now suspects that are at gunpoint. What if they would have slipped and, accidentally pulled the trigger? I'd have got shot for something I didn't even do.
I mean, after the thing when I got handcuffed and everything like that, right? I went back in, and it wasn't 10 minutes later that they had come over the loudspeaker, that if anyone owned a 77 yellow Mercury Bobcat, they're fixing to tow your car. But guess who that is?
You.
That was me. And I went out, and it was one of the same officers that came in the first time and took me out. And he actually heisted my wallet, which had $200 in it. So when I went to the police department and gave a description of the officer, the first thing the police department told me is there's not an officer with that description on the force.
Look, I'm going to throw us in another direction, okay? The direction I want to throw us in is, how come when something happens, a catastrophe happens, everybody pulls together?
Yep, that's it. I said that at so many of my family's funerals. I ask them, with tears in my eyes, I said, "Why does it always take a tragedy to pull us together?"
That's it.
Why can't
we
be
a family? Well, what's going on? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, when we see these earthquakes, when we see these floods and storms and hurricanes and so on, everybody kind of like, I don't know, we drop everything. We run to help people we don't even know.
Yep. Well, that tells me that
Why does it take a catastrophe? And that's the question. Why does it take a horrible event, a catastrophe, to get people to come together, to look at each other, to lend a hand, to help each other, to show love and caring? Why is that?
Well,
maybe it's because that there's so much that they can't control in their lives, and they have to feel inadequate that when something does happen that is on that portion of their neighbors actually being affected,
yeah,
they can physically do something then. Maybe that is just a reinforcement to them, you know. Everybody has a heart that wants to do the right thing, that wants to reach out, but there's this thing called fear and prejudice and hate and all of this that gets in the way in times, and it's all brought about because I feel inadequate because of all the things that are going on in the world. I can't change any of it. I cannot change what's happening, and it's happening to me now. And then when there is a disaster of sorts and you finally have the ability to actually contribute to the hope,
yep,
to the regeneration, that's something that you can actually do. Maybe that's why.
I'd like to add a layer to that same question, and that would be that what happens when we're all vaccinated to where we don't have beliefs anymore? Will we jump to the rescue of people anymore? Will we have that deep spirituality inside of us that has caring about people? Will we step up to the plate if we see somebody being abused by government agencies, law enforcement, or anybody else for that matter? Will we believe in our spirituality, our God or creators or whatever, enough to know the difference between right and wrong? Once that possibility of belief is completely gone, how many of us is going to ever even care whether or not somebody else is being hurt? You see what I'm saying?
Nobody's going to care if that's what's happening.
Yeah.
If that's going to happen, nobody's going to care. It'd be like, oh, your house is burning. Yeah, where's the hot dog?
Let's see, we're moving to, while we're in this area, let's also move into when you see that people have been desensitized to death, quite literally via their training. There are videos, if you really want to take the time to be disturbed, go out there and look up some videos of soldiers in the field, quite literally laughing as they're pulling the trigger on big old 50 caliber machine guns, just mowing people down and finding joy and humor in it. Now, where did that come from? Were they vaccinated against a belief in any higher power? Were they just flat out rotten people to begin with? Or were they indoctrinated by first person shooter video games and all they see is a little silhouette out there and it's not a real person? So it's not real consequence, it's just a video game. Ha ha ha, let's shoot them down. Hey, look, did you see how that guy bounced off the ground when I shot him?
I heard one guy actually tell me that when he was in Vietnam, okay, I'm just going to say this. He was over in Vietnam, and he'd run what, you know, you had that tank on your back, and when you pull the trigger, there's nothing but fire.
Yep.
Right? And he said it was the wildest, coolest thing he ever seen when he set this one guy on fire and he blew up like a oxygen tank.
Oh my God. Well, you're talking,
you know, that's just malfunction.
Well, there's a couple of questions I have. You said, are these just downright normally rotten people? Is that true? Is that the case? You know, then you have, again, the brainwashing system that when a person goes into the military, they are programmed very deeply to not see another human being standing in front of them, you know.
Yep.
Well, there's all these kinds of names that these gooks or Japs or whatever they're called, the names they're told to call these people. They did the same thing here on Turtle Island.
They did here too, yeah.
That, you know, the Indian people were devil worshippers, they weren't human, they did the same thing to the black population, you know, they were animals. So you have this across the board again. Here's an imprint that has been in our civilizations for a long, long time. And when you have an imprint, that's where the knee-jerk reaction is when you see a person of color, you know, or so on. And it's across the board. It's both sides. You know, when you are, if you're a person of color and you may see a white person, you know, you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction. Maybe not all people, but this is a big percentage here that I'm talking about. And is there such a thing as a person born as a rotten person? There's a question for you. Or are they injected and subjected to these mind control brainwashing systems, you know, of prejudice and hate and violence, and to be able to step into a military situation and be a compassionate person, to say, I'm not gonna do a flamethrower on another human being. I'm not even gonna carry a flamethrower. I'm not gonna bomb a whole village, and I'm not gonna step over there into that village, and I'm not going to slaughter all these little babies and women and old people, you know. But that's been done over and over and over again, even here on Turtle Island, by so-called people who were not in the military, the governments, you know, just people.
Yep.
Just people in general. The Miyagi Nation is not even here anymore.
Well, there's got to come a time when the average Joe finally says enough is enough and starts doing the right thing, you know?
Well, I'm going to talk about that in those words, enough is enough, and try to do the right thing, start to do the right thing. Now, the words enough is enough has just come out a lot in the media because the Me Too thing. We all know what the Me Too thing is. I think y'all should be familiar with what that is. Do you know? You all know, right?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I ain't heard it yet.
All right. Well, the Me Too meme, if you want to call it that, started because of the whole blowout of Hollywood. Harvey Weinstein, I suppose, he was the first person. You know, big money mogul, a lot of power, you know, and so it just started to, that doorway started to open where a takedown across the board, which by the way is prophecy, okay, takedown of all the systems set in place by the patriarchy dominator rule. It's called the breakup and the shattering of the dominators. Patriarchy rulers that have put in place our system, everything, our religious system, our education system, our political system, and our financial system. Everything across the board here was set in place by the patriarchy, okay? Eliminating anything to do with, you know, the voice or word or wisdom of the mothers, the grandmothers, the aunties, the sisters, or anything, right? Which was here basically on Turtle Island, which is called the matrilineal or clan mother system, where women were equal, you know, in their abilities and wisdom and power to the men. And the clan mothers is a whole other system that had to be eliminated by the conquerors that came here under manifest destiny, you know, which is basically colonization, which is basically genocide, period.
Yep.
So now here today we have the rise in the takedown of the sexual assault upon women, and it started with this person. Well, it didn't start. I mean, this has been going on, but the doorway opened. The curtain was drawn back on Harvey Weinstein, and it was like a floodgate opened, you know? Wow. So now it's not just Harvey Weinstein. It's this producer. It's this actor. It's this director. It's this politician. It's this, you know, so on and so forth. Across the board, floodgates. So every day you'll see one or two so-and-sos being, you know, that women are claiming, and even young men are claiming that this man, raped me, or this man molested me, or this man, you know, whatever. So the Me Too was formed by this black woman, actually, quite a while ago, who started to talk about the women of color who have been violated and abused and raped, and she called it the Me Too. Like, in other words, I'm going to stand up as a woman and I'm going to say, this happened to me and that happened to me, but instead of that, all going through all that, I'm going to say, me too. Me too. I've been violated. I've been raped. I've been attacked. I've been so on. Okay, so that's what the Me Too Act is. Now, I see the Me Too Act and this whole curtain rising on all, well, we have the pedophilia, we have the religious pedophilias, we have the the across the board stuff going on. We have pornography, we have violence happening to children. It's across the board, vile stuff.
Yep.
So the curtain is rising, okay, and everybody's seeing this. It's right in our face. Now, this is an opportunity, basically, I feel, for women, and everyone, men included, okay, to really get clear about what this means. It's not just about saying, well, me too, I've been raped and violated and so on. And people are coming out of the woodwork talking about what happened to them when they were a child, or how many years ago this occurred, and so-and-so did this, and so did that. And then you have these people who are coming out and say, yeah, so-and-so did that to me, and you find out, well, that it's false. So there you throw in this confusion, and you throw in the blame, and you throw in people pointing fingers at each other, and you throw in all manner of stuff. But we are at such a crucial point in time when it comes to what's happening right now, about where are we going to go from here. So if you as a woman stand up and say, me too, I was violated, and I'm going to say this, you're standing on the Hollywood red carpet, half clothed or half naked, or you might as well just go out there half naked. So, and now here somebody's going to say, well, women have the right to wear what they want to wear and not be violated. In a way, that's true, but let's be realistic. Let's use common sense. And I say, if you're standing next to a fire, you don't want to wear flammable clothing.
Well, that's true. You know, I'm not some sort of pervert or nothing like that, but you know, I'm a man, so that means I got hormones that flow through me, and if I look over and I see a beautiful lady, you know, I get a physical reaction. I'm not trying to sound nasty or anything like that, but you know, I can recognize beauty when I see it, and if certain women
are
dressed.
That's one thing. Okay, you're talking about let's say realistic or natural, a natural feeling or a natural sense of seeing a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And isn't she lovely? Isn't she beautiful? I'd like to get to know her. Then there's the imprint. Okay, the imprints go further and deeper and darker and nastier.
Yeah, but I would never try to do anything because... I wouldn't like try to go over and rape no woman under any circumstances. I wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't even dream about it or even think about it, anything like that, you know, because of the way they were dressed. I mean, sure, I might think, well, you know, that's a little bit risky that you're dressed like that, but I wouldn't say it out loud or anything, but I might actually think that. But I wouldn't blame them if somebody else did something to them, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Well, what I understand is that women are getting annoyed and angry because they're being told what to wear or what not to wear.
Yeah.
We've been told that from the time we were little tiny girls. Okay, and I understand that. We were told, but wait, boys were told this too. Boys were told what they needed to become successful, how they needed to act, what type of a girl is desirable, which is only about how she looks. And girls were trained and taught that in order to get the man that you want, he's got to have money, he's got to be successful, he's got to be powerful, and you have to dress this way in order to get that.
Yeah.
This is, as a girl, this is what you are, this is how you behave. As a boy, this is who you are, what you were meant to become, and how to behave. So we all start out that way, my friends. Okay, but here we are at a point in time where prophecy is unfolding. And it is really, many prophecies are unfolding, but we have the breakup and shattering prophecy that was given to me many years ago, breakup and shattering of the dominated patriarchy rulers. We have that across the board occurring. Okay, the other prophecy that I was given was that women will lead the way. Okay, now it doesn't mean they're going to be better then, it means they're going to lead the way. So women have to step up to the plate. Okay, they have to use the wisdom, innate wisdom within them as a sacred feminine, because on the other side of them is the sacred masculine.
Well,
and that's our physical makeup, but also we have our brothers.
When you're talking about the sacred feminine, I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
I was raised to be respectful to the ladies. It was like I don't know what the word that I'm looking for, but, you know, gentleman-like thing to do to go open a door for a lady, right? In modern day age, sometimes I've actually had an experience where ladies got upset because I opened the door as if they were helpless to open the door, but that wasn't the case. It was because I respected basically their sacredness. That's what I was always taught, that you respect the women and you protect them and that kind of stuff. So
what's your question?
Well, at what point did it suddenly become wrong for me to open the door for a lady?
Okay, so listen to the training that women have had, okay? So women have been subjugated to being under control of men, all right, right from the get-go, in all areas of our lives. We've been told, you know, that we must look like this, be like this, and so on and so forth, and act like this in order to be taken care of, in order to be appealing, in order to fit in. Right? Then you have the movement where everybody goes, hey, wait a second, I don't like this. You know, this was like, you could call it the feminine mystique or the feminine rising, whatever you want to call it. So women shifted over to anger and rage and don't talk to me like that. Don't look at me like I can't open the door for myself. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to dress. I'll dress how I want to dress. I'll make my own decisions and so on. So this is where that imprint comes in. So now you have somebody like you come along and who says, okay, yeah, I grew up with my mom and grandma telling me and my father telling me, yeah, you know, we open the door for women because we respect them and we pull the chair back and help them sit down and all that stuff, you know. Okay, so for a woman who has been angry and enraged, you know, realizing this rage for being treated like she's helpless, she's stupid, she's ignorant, she can't do anything for herself, because she's been trained to believe that. That's what the imprints are. You know, so you have to get over this. These women have to get over this. You got to heal that stuff inside of you in order to be a full-blown, sacred, compassionate, loving woman. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be less than. It means you're going to be empowered to who you really, truly are. I appreciate. I kind of know what's going on. I don't have that attitude, okay? I didn't go into that direction where don't you tell me what to do or don't open the door for me because I can do it myself. And I don't need you as a man telling me that I'm a weak person, because that's what that message really has been imprinted.
Well, that wasn't okay? My intentions.
I know that, and I appreciate that, and I open the door for men. And when a man opens the door for me, I say, wow, now there's a really nice man. I don't get insulted. I don't feel he's looking at me. And you know what? It doesn't matter how he's looking at me. If he thinks, oh, there's a woman, she's weak, she doesn't know how to open the door, I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me. I know it's an imprint in that man, and that's okay. I have to recognize that this man has been imprinted in certain behavioral ways that, you know, put me lower than him, or maybe made me or women feel like they're, yeah, I'm a helpless woman. Oh, I'm a helpless woman. I don't even know how to open the door for myself, you know. So this is a mess. This is a big mess we're talking about here. Yeah, we all have to take responsibility for stopping this nonsense and this imprint and this separation and this rage against each other, because how are we ever going to make a better life for ourselves and our children if we continue this nonsense?
My intentions were honor and respect to that woman. It wasn't that I was saying she was weak or anything. I just, you know, I recognize and respect and, you know, honor and cherish them. That's what I was taught.
But you don't get it.
Yeah.
See, you're not getting the other side.
Yeah, I'm getting it. I understand. Okay. Now that you explained it to me, I understand their point of view on the deal.
Let's talk about kindness, okay? So it's not kindness to a woman. The message that you're giving to that woman is that you see her as a weakling, that she needs assistance, okay, because she's less than, or she's stupid, or she's not qualified or capable. That's the message that's been given to women.
Wow.
And men.
That's
so that's what we're up against. So the vision and the prophecy given to me was that I was told that we're going to come up. This is over 30 years ago. That soon, and you know, we will be meeting times when there will be great changes and big challenges beyond our imagining, and we have to come together. And women need to lead the way, because in our culture it was the women, the wisdom keepers and the givers of life, okay, that made determinations and decisions about going to war or not. about where we got, you know, how we're going to do the best for the whole community here. And women were chiefs, and women also chose chiefs or threw the chiefs out if they weren't functioning according to what is best for the whole. And women stood side by side in our cultures, making decisions and determinations with the brothers, with the men. This was a unified culture that we lived under. And when the conquerors came here, already in Europe, the women, when they came here, they didn't have a vote. They couldn't vote. They couldn't own property. They couldn't make their own decisions about their life. They couldn't get an education. They were really virtual slaves, and I basically say slaves in a nice dress. So they come here on Turtle Island, and they see this whole culture where women are revered and respected and are chiefs and decision makers in relationship to the men, side by side. So the prophecy basically given to me is that women and men must come back to walking side by side. Reciprocity, connectedness, respect, okay? And this is where we are so far removed from, and that is a deliberate, in my estimation, and what I was told, that's the manipulation that is deliberate to keep us so that we can't become harmonized and balanced and work for the good of the whole. Yeah. So we need each other. We have to stop this jealousy. We have to stop, women have to stop this jealousy. Women have to stop, you know, fooling around with men who have a partner or a wife. Because you know what? Respect that sister. I don't care. Listen, here's a story. I had this guy after me for a long time, right? Oh, he made all these stupid facial expressions, like that moon-eyed look, you know, or trying to get my attention, or sitting, you know, next to me, and blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't married at that time, but he was married, and he'd say to me, you know, my wife, we don't have sex anymore, and, you know, I'd like to really get together with you. And I said to him, you know what, get a divorce, go to therapy, and then come back and see me, and I'll figure this out if this is going to work. But he tried, but you know what? I don't care, because I respected his wife as a sister.
Yeah.
It's not my business. Maybe she didn't want to have sex with him because he was a jerk or something. Maybe he was fooling around on her, which I'm sure he was. But what I'm saying is, women, we need to stand up and stop this nonsense. We have to get ourselves straight, because Spirit told me women will be leading the way. And I said, why do we have to do this? And Spirit responded and said, because you can. Because you are the mothers, the grandmothers, the aunties and the sisters to all children. And this is really about the coming generations. You know, and so I just have to put that out. This whole Me Too thing about Me Too, yes, I was violated, I was raped, and I was put upon and so on. But meanwhile, I'm going to stand out there on that carpet with half clothed, half dressed, and I'm going to let the, you know, the mainstream media or whomever, the corporations, tell me how to dress, what to wear, and the system, the agenda, and the cabal tell me how I have to behave in order to get a rich man and so on. And I have this expectation of this poor guy who's also a bit brainwashed about what he's supposed to become and how he's supposed to look at this woman and how he's supposed to act. Nobody's themselves.
Yeah. Well, I like the way you handle...
No wonder people are getting divorced.
I like the way you handle that.
You start out a marriage with an expectation of this person, and guess what? Over a little bit of time, you're going to say, wow, this guy isn't doing what I thought he was going to do, and so on. And he's going to say, well, I thought this person was a different person, because everybody starts off on their wrong foot without being honest and open, because they don't even know who they are.
Yep. I like the way you handled that situation. That was pretty good.
Well, yeah. That's what women have to do. I don't care whether you think about the woman. She's a sister. You don't know their story. I always say, you know what? Behind closed doors, there's a secret.
Yep.
And we're not privy to that secret.
Well, the thing is, people in this day and age, they change wives and husbands like changing hats and shoes. And it's terrible. I mean, if you look at it from my point of view, whenever I gave my vows, you know, I said, till death do us part, you know, in the eyes of God, I felt like we were, you know, married or whatever, but I meant what I said when I said it. And, you know, maybe things didn't work out the first go, and the second time around, hopefully it'll work out better, but nonetheless, I said that from my own spiritual beliefs that I was going to, for better or for worse, stick beside this person and through the rest of my life. That's how serious I was about how, you know, much I cared for my wife. And, you know, if circumstances had to played out, you know, there would have never been a situation where I would have ever even contemplated on leaving my wife. You know?
I got 18 years with her now. You know, with my wife, you know, I got 18 years, and to be honest with you, she was pretty as she could be, but actually it was her mind, it was her, the way she talked, the way she would think things out, that really got me.
Yeah. Well, you know, once again, back down to the whole crux of everything we're talking about today, is that this little situation where this video is talking about changing, you know, basically giving somebody a virus to get rid of a portion of their mind, which basically takes away beliefs, I'm saying that that's probably just as dangerous as all the other potential misuse of technology out there on the market or even in research today, because as bad as things are when you actually have people that believe, I honestly believe that it would be worse if all the people from your culture suddenly didn't believe in a spirit, you know, a divine entity, a creator, or all the people from my culture did the same thing. Nobody believed that there's any higher power or any potential retribution for wrongs done or whatever like that. What's the purpose of being nice anymore? You see what I'm trying to say here?
If this actually comes to pass, this is, you know, with what we're talking about with this, you know, this vaccine or whatever, okay? This way I look at it. This is just me. I don't think people are going to care whether they blow away a 2-year-old. Because it's not going to affect.
Yeah, there won't be no kind of morality left, because if you take away somebody's free will or choice, they could put anything in your mind. If they could erase anything out of your mind that takes away what it is to be you personally, you know, you're born into this world and imprinted through all the different things and programmed and taught to be certain ways, and you know, if somebody has that power over your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul, or whatever it is that you believe in, not no longer believe in, because you don't have that option anymore. You can't believe in it because that's been shut off. Can you see?
I mean, if you stop and think about it, Suzanne, real carefully, when it comes to like babies, okay, they don't see color, they don't see hate, they don't see nothing, they just see another baby.
No, they're just born pure. They're born pure
now,
heart.
When it comes to hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan and the freaking, you know, skinheads or what, Aryan Nation or whatever, okay?
Well, it's not just
hate. Here's what I'm saying, is hate and racism and things like that, that's taught through generation, man. That ain't got nothing to do with babies.
That's right,
You're taught.
I'm right there with you, brother, but it's not just the Klan or the skinheads. It comes in all kinds of different forms from every different background. You know, you got the Black Panthers. Well, once they put that label on there, the Black Panthers, that separates them from, let's say, the White Panthers, if there's White Panthers out there. But
now, yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah,
I understand.
Either way, there's a separation there. You know, people believing that, you know, you should be blonde hair, blue eyes, and you're the super race or whatever, all that. It's a shame in my mind. It shakes my soul to its very core to think that people actually think there's any kind of justification for genocide of people. You know, I say this a lot, and maybe people don't really believe me or think that maybe if really, let's say hypothetically, I was born in a different time frame. I was born when the first people came from Europe over here, and they met up with the natural people of the land, and then they started committing atrocities. If my soul is what my soul is today, I would have been the one on the side of trying to fight against the same people I came from, came with to that land. That's what I feel like my soul is. I would have been one of the people in the Underground Railroad, you know, trying to hide people, get them to safety, move them over to a place where slavery wasn't legal anymore, whatever.
Well, you know, it's just like a lot of my people when the Underground Railroad actually was going on, and you know, you had the slave owners trying to get the slaves back. We married into each other because their culture and ours was similar.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got French, Canadian, and Cherokee blood that runs through my veins. If you go look at my grandmother, I'm talking about my mom's mom, you would know that she was full-blooded Cherokee. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, she was full-blooded. And my grandfather, obviously, was French-Canadian. And so I got different bloods in me, not to mention whatever my father was, my actual biological father mixed with my mother. So I got multiple races inside of me. I'm probably like one of those rainbow-colored ones, I guess.
So the thing I say a lot of times is that if you have you know, all these cultures inside you,
yeah,
know everything about you.
Well, and I want to come together because maybe I got like several me's inside of me, which are from my Cherokee heritage to my French heritage to my Canadian heritage to, you know, whatever mixtures in there. And we're all looking back in history and we're saying we don't agree with the way that people were treated. And so we're going to try to work together and bring all these cultures together. I mean, it's no different than what I hear you talk about, you know, with the what your deal to get the flags together to bring people
to
the table.
That's the exact same thing, man.
Yeah. So, we're so much alike, brother. It just, you know, I love the conversations that we have. I love the words that come out here on the Knights of the Round Table and the way that we deliver messages. You know, we could have come out here with this thing right here and said, we're all doomed, you know, everything's terrible, we're all going to die, you know, they're going to kill us, and not, we're not. We're just trying to unlock people's mind to recognizing problems when you see it, to knowing.
I got a question for you, Shazir.
Yeah.
This is going to add to this. Let me ask you this. When you're out and you come home, do you love your wife?
Oh, yes.
Do you eat with her? Do you eat with your children?
Yep.
You play with your kids?
Yep.
Guess what? Me as a traditional does the same thing.
Yep, we do.
But we are the human being. We're not that different. Culturally, maybe. Police and grandfather and God, yeah.
There you go. We're all the same. And that's what I'm talking about, you know. But you just said something. You just said something, Shaziz, that I'm really grateful that we don't do here. That we do not get on this radio show and say to people, we are all doomed. Okay? What we come on here and do is we talk about the seriousness of what's happening, because we're all researchers, we all have awareness of what's happening. We talk about that, we share that, in order to help people to wake up and to realize what's going on, and then we give solutions, okay? So I am so happy that we do not get on here, this radio show, and just spew out, oh, we're doomed, oh, we're doomed, oh, we're doomed.
Yeah.
Just saying, that's all, I just want to say that, because that's not who we are.
Well,
and, you know, it's just like the earlier when this show first started. You know, I want to thank Patty with all my heart. I want to thank Patty Walking Turtle for, you know, with all my heart, because she actually researched what I said, and it, you know, but I do. I want to thank you very much for the apology, honey. And the thing of the matter is, it's the thing that we're all coming together and talking for the right reasons. And that's the big deal.
Well, that's exactly how an honorable knight acts right there. What she did today, that's what an honorable knight does, you know? And that's what this whole thing's about. Quite literally, everything. If you go over there to the Knights podcast and you click on the page and you go down, scroll down and look at some of the things that are on that podcast page, little pictures and some, I guess some people would call them memes or something like that. But nonetheless, at the very top of the page, you'll see a knight in shining armor there. And says seeking solutions and said peace and love to the world on it. That's the first one. And then the knight's code of honor, where you have a knight humbling himself as a servant before his people. And it says, knight's code of honor, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right.
Well, you know, that's a beautiful thing, and we all need, right?
Yep.
I mean, I admit, okay, I don't know everything. I'm not a perfect person. But we have to be honest and truthful with ourselves, you know? Like, you know, my sister Patty there, you know, she came up there like, you know, like a warrior, like a one of the knights.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful thing when we can say to a person, you know, I made a mistake, you know, and I apologize to you. But we have to do that work inside ourselves. Everybody has to do that work because nobody is perfect and nobody has all the answers. We're all sharing pieces, you know? And that's all I'm saying is that, yeah, it's honorable to do that, and that's a beautiful thing.
And even to the thought of things being so bad that there's nothing we can do about it, there's a picture right underneath the Knight's Coat of Honor that it just warms my heart when I see it. It's kind of really cute. It's a little squirrel, and he's in his little shining suit of armor, got a little sword in his shield and stuff like that. And the phrase typed above that says, even the smallest knight can make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, and when you tell somebody, I'm sorry, you're doomed, you know, well, what are you doing to that person? What does that do to someone? That doesn't give them any hope. They might as well just stop and give up right now.
Yeah,
because it's hopeless, and they're hell. You're basically saying to them, "I'm sorry, you're doomed. Forget about it. You're doomed."
It weakens their armor. As far as I'm concerned,
yes.
The full armor of God includes all the people out here on this panel right here. The full armor of God is your brothers and sisters around the world. There's another picture down there. If you scroll down, you'll also see the Knights of the Round Table picture. That the reason why the Round Table, why I like it so much, is because it puts everyone, men and women alike, on equal footing, and we're all, you know, honorable knights. Well, right below there is another picture that says, this picture says it all. And if you look at this picture, there's a bunch of people standing around a puzzle in the bottom. And there's somebody standing outside the circle right there, and it says, you are the missing piece. You're the one that's going to complete that big picture that we're all looking for, that peace and love and harmony in the world, you know? And so you're just as important as everybody else around there. That's the point trying to get across to everybody. And for
we started out talking about this injection into people's you know, genes to eliminate this hope and this wisdom and this sense of purpose and this connectedness to the omniscience and greater sacredness of everything. We started out talking like that.
Yeah.
So what you say to people, if you say it's hopeless, you're helpless. That's what the Kabbalah is telling us. If the Kabbalah is telling us, I'm sorry, you people are doomed. You do not have a chance. We're doomed.
Yeah.
That's what the Kabbalah is telling us.
They're also telling you that they are your savior. They will fix this with their medicines and their policies and their laws.
Exactly. Yeah. Follow us down the rabbit hole. Follow us over the cliff. There you go.
one of the things that it was actually said, you know, that America is a nation of laws, not people. Who's there when you, who's there when you die?
People.
What people are there when you die? Who is there when you're born?
People.
Who's there while you're growing?
People.
Your law, American law, is not there.
No, and it seems like the law is at least 45 minutes away from me, so if I'm in danger, I got to rely on, guess what? People.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Pat, anyway, Patty, what do you think? Are you there? Or unmute, or whatever? But I'm curious to what Patty wants to say about this, because people are here. The law is not there. It's people.
Well, I'm here, and I've been listening, blushing a little bit, thank you guys, but I didn't do anything above or beyond. I just did what we all do. Stay true yourself, stay true and honorable. But anyway, that's why we're here in the first place, is because of Knights of the Round Table. We wouldn't be here otherwise. We'd be, you know, elsewhere. But people, you know, that's the key right there, is that we have such a hard time defining ourselves that we keep looking for ourselves in other people, and we're never going to find that. But the law is going to make sure that we all the same. When it comes down to it, the only ones who don't have to worry about the law are the ones who have what? Status, the money holders, those people, the elite, those who can buy their way to independence. The rest of us, all of us, doesn't matter who we are, we're all in the same boat. We are under laws, and there are so many laws that they can't even tell you how many laws there are. We have something that's called the natural law. It's one law. It's one law, and it covers it all, and it's quite succinct in that matter that it does cover everything. Why do we have to have so many laws, so many governments, so many regulations, so many licenses? There's only one reason, and one reason only: because of control. No one has the right to put a law on you. Now, consequences are a different thing. Consequences are what happens when you do something to break the natural law, the first law, when you do harm. And that law says that you have to make recompense, that you have to make it right. And if you cannot make it right, then you must work to find a middle ground with the person or the people that you harm to mitigate that, if you can, you know. This is the way it was always done before. The law worked perfectly. The Scots, you know, over there, people for people, the Breton law. It's the closest thing that we have to our tribal law. And it worked brilliantly until the rule of law came in. And here we are with thousands of laws. And I can't tell you how many laws there are. And Congress said that the police don't even have to know what the law is. It's okay. They can act out on anything that they feel or deem would be illegal, and the courts will sort that out later, whether or not they knew what the law was or not. The Constitution is words on paper, and they've always been words on paper, nothing more, nothing less. They are geared in a way to move us toward one reaction or another, so that the next solution can be implemented. And then we move on to the next problem, so that we can create the reaction, so that we can create the solution. And we've always been led like this. The laws are part of the toolbox that the elite use, like money. There's no need for money. There's no way that you can ever convince me that there is a need for money. The only reason that money is there is to control you and me. Because the people above us, those people above, they don't need money. Money is a power game. It keeps the lower lights reaching for that gold ring, so that the next time the carousel comes around, they're going to reach a little bit further, and they just might grab a hold of that gold ring, you know. But when you get a hold of it, it's just brass. It's not really all that.
Well, folks, there's something going on out there in the world, and I've seen this on so many different networks and so many different people trying to gather together to do exactly what we're trying to do here, is to keep hope and love alive. There's another picture on Knights of the Round Table page. It's a really beautiful picture. It's got some animals in the background, and it's got a beautiful sunrise or sunset, whichever direction it's coming in, I don't know. But nonetheless, it's still a beautiful picture. The phrase on there is what's important. It says, every new day comes with new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights of the Round Table in our quest to make it so. You know, we know that there's a lot of terrible things out there in this world that we are up against and we're fighting against. And, you know, some people may think that it's hopeless, and some people think that it may be, you know, written in stone, and that we have to, as humans, go down this path, and there's no way that we got any choice in the matter. It's just going to happen. But here on the Knights of the Round Table, we believe in the possibilities of people taking and digging deep inside themselves, no matter what race or color or political views that they have in the background. Just like we see at every other tragedy, every time there's a funeral, a natural disaster, that people actually can focus that energy and come together as one, as a community, colorblind to all the differences of the world out there, but doing what they need to do to ensure that this human over here that they don't even know is food, has food and is clothed and housed and has their needs met. This is what humans are possible, are capable of doing. And this is what we believe in. So even when all of the world looks completely bleak and continuously you're being bombarded with all the disasters going on, all the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famine and the pestilence and everything negative that you could possibly think about. Well, until that light goes out, until darkness wins over everything that we have been fighting for all this time, until the very last light goes out, darkness can never win. It only takes one candle to light up a cave. The biggest, darkest abyss cannot overcome that one candle. Maybe around that candle to some reach, whatever, it'd be dark on the outer rim of it, but you're standing in the midst of that light right there, darkness can never win. And so the more people that wake up, the more people that shine their light, the more people that stand firm on their faith and their belief from whichever direction it comes from, whichever creator or idea that they believe in, as long as you have that belief in your heart, as long as you've got that soul, that spirit, that light shining, the darkness can never win. And this is why I keep saying that no matter how bad things get, if I have to be the very last man standing on the battlefield during the worst possible apocalyptic scenario where everybody's running around killing each other and destroying each other, I'll be the one individual standing out there shining my light, shouting to all four points of the compass, can't we all just get along? This isn't about me, it's not about you, it's about us. It's always been about us. It's been about the survival of humanity in its greatest potential of what we could achieve if we decided to ever use the true power that lies within each and every one of us. If you're a traditionalist, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Christian, or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all in this beautiful boat together. Some of us are poking holes in this beautiful boat. Some of us are saying maybe you might not want to do that. And some of us are trying to steer the boat away from the great abyss so that we can go into the future with our children and our children's children. We can put those stones down so they can have a smooth path, so that they can have a better world. These may just be words to most people, but these are heart and souls. My energy, my frequency, matched with their energy, their frequency, their love, their life, their stories, their histories, their trials and tribulations, all combined to make up this panel that pours this love out as hard and as fast and as heavy as we can. I know what the book says that I subscribe to. I know the stories of Revelation, and I'm petrified that it could ever come to pass. But I'm not going to sit by and allow that light that is me to be distinguished, to be extinguished, so that I can't share that with people. Even if they don't believe, I can still walk that path. I can still shine my light and lead by example. If there's anything in my life that they feel is worthy of adopting into their life, I would be honored that I did something positive for this world. I don't want to see my children raised up in a world where there's a picture like the one we see over there on the Knights podcast, where that little baby is standing there while people are walking past that baby, and that baby is in such disrepair that it doesn't even look human anymore. There's a lady sitting there right next to that baby giving this baby water while there's multiples of other people that should be around that baby and caring for that baby and feeding that baby. But they call these babies witch children. This one particular lady is giving this baby water and food, and then she didn't stop there. She took the power of her faith or her life or her beliefs, and she literally walked this child through the whole entire deal of healing and brought him to the point where a year later this beautiful baby standing there, and she's giving him water yet again, and he's in this beautiful little red jumpsuit with a checkered shirt and his little backpack and tennis shoes on, and he looks healthy. He looks beautiful. He went from hell to heaven because that lady opened her heart and she cared. That's what we're about here at the Knights of the Round Table.
I'm going to actually add to that just a little bit. If anybody doesn't believe in miracles that can happen, I'm one of them.
I'm right there with you.
I'm one of them. You're one of them. But you know, you look at an 8-year-old child that just ate out of a garbage bin and was just sleeping in one and had to peek out to figure out where the cops are. We could go some other direction. And that 8-year-old kid becomes a 58-year-old man. That man is me. So if you think miracles can't happen, I'm living proof.
Good thing. Well, I'm thanking you, Two Dog, and Patty and Shaziz, you know, for your good words, your powerful words, and I'd be standing right there with my light too, because that's just the way I feel. I think people are being inundated with many things to give up. To believe that it's hopeless, to believe that we are helpless, to believe that there are no miracles, that there isn't even a creator or a great spirit, to believe no one, you know, can help. But we're the ones that are supposed to be helping, you know. It's like we are the ones that were given that job to do, is to help each other. So, you know, you'll never, I guess I'm going to go along with what Shaziz said. You know, I will stand there shining my light until the last light is out, until I look around and I say, okay, it's done. I'm never going to put that light out. I'm never going to tell people it's all hopeless. We're all doomed. You might as well just forget about it. I'm never going to make that claim, because I would be turning my back on what I believe is the great spirit, the creator, okay? I believe the Creator gave us free will. I believe the Creator gave us something beautiful. And I know I'm not ignorant or I'm not foolish to believe that it's not in trouble, that we're not in trouble. I do know that. But the other part of me knows that, you know, I was given a job, you know, as we all were, I believe, here, to shine that light as long as we can. And never, ever to tell people, forget about it. It's hopeless. You're doomed. You might as well give up. I feel that that would be turning my back on my Creator. And I would be basically saying to people, I don't believe. I don't believe. So I'm right there with you, you know. And Two Dog, what you said, when you said, you know, I know your story. You said, you know, that little boy in that dumpster, you know, hiding in there and trying to find some food and was you. But I want to add that that's all of us. You know, that could have been me. You know, that could have been Shaziz. It could have been any one of us. Right?
I'll tell you, there's a story of my life of living in Georgia. And I was real, real young. So was my older brother. We were real young. And my stepfather at the time, he was in the military, and we lived right outside the military base. But he didn't send any money for Mom to buy food for the house. And so we were quite literally starving. You know, right next to a big military base. You know, living in a trailer in Georgia. And one day, there was this chicken that was running around out there in the trailer park, and Mom told us, says, boys, if you can catch that chicken, I'll cook it for dinner. And so me and my older brother, we ran, and we chased that chicken all over the doggone trailer park trying to catch that chicken. We were hungry and tired and whatever, but we were trying like heck, we were going to catch that chicken. We never did catch that chicken. That chicken eluded us in every possible fashion. But somebody in another trailer had noticed that we were chasing that chicken around. And they called me and my brother over, and they gave us two big old giant pieces of chicken. Fried chicken. They was all cooked. It smelled wonderful and everything. And my brother and I, we had the same exact thought. We looked at each other and we went right straight to Mom. And we thanked the person for giving it to us. And we went right straight to Mom. And we tried our best to get our mom to share that chicken with us. But you know, my mom would not take a bite out of it. She said, no, boys, you sit down there and you eat that. She was so selfless that she wanted to make sure that her boys were fed, that she wasn't even, I know she had to be hungry too. But she wasn't going to take it. When my grandfather found out that his daughter and his baby boys were down there in those circumstances, he jumped in his car and he came down there and he set the record straight. He put us in a car and he brought us home. That's what families do. So I can understand that boy in the dumpster. Believe me. That's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this whole entire mess. It needs fixing. There's people out there in this world that are suffering, and I know what it feels like to be suffering. Two Dog knows. Barbara knows, Patty knows, we all know. It's time for it to stop.
Well, in my life, on my journey here, my life's journey, I have been taken, and I want to say taken because I know that it was a teaching and an opportunity that, you know, Great Spirit knew that I needed to know about and to learn. And it was a challenge, and I've been taken to meet very dark things. You know, my experiences were really hard, really challenging, and very, very dark. And when you meet evil in other people, and when you meet entities that are evil, this is a powerful experience. And I don't take it lightly, and I'm not saying you all should have this experience, but on some different levels, every one of us has met this darkness and this evil. Yes. For me personally, there were miracles on the other side of that. On the other side of feeling nothing, you know, helpless, not hopeless, but if put in a helpless situation and being spiritually, emotionally, and physically attacked by this. And then right after that, right on the money, an immediate miracle occurs. And I've had this happen to me in my life. I've had many miracles occur, and I do believe in those miracles. And I just, you know, a simple saying is, well, every day is a miracle that I'm alive. You know, and I do believe that. And I'm very grateful every day for the day.
I'll tell you right now, the miracle that I'm witnessing in my life is what's occurring right now on this Knights of the Round Table. Because I tell people all the time, and I know it's kind of hard to grasp unless you've actually been lived through Barbara's eyes or Patty's or Two Dog's eyes, and unless you was actually walking in their shoes to experience the experiences that they had, you couldn't really understand what they're trying to say to you beyond the words that they're talking. But I quite literally, I've said on this show many times that I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. I quite literally looked straight into the eyes of the greatest evil of all times. And it affected me in such a way that I feel so passionate that every Sunday I get on this show and I start talking about things in this world that I feel are important that people recognize and try to work towards solutions. Because I never want to go back there. I never want to see those things again. I've cried to the pastor of my church and told him I looked right straight in the eyes of Satan himself. I said, I cannot believe what I have witnessed. I cannot believe that anybody could be that cold and that heartless to any other human being on this planet. I just can't visualize it. And because of the love that I was raised in, it's beyond anything, it's beyond explanation. If you talk about how there's no human words to express what our Creator or God is, the love that that I feel that that God is, actually the total opposite side of the spectrum, there's also no words to literally explain that kind of darkness.
You know, when you don't believe in miracles, you may not even realize that a miracle has occurred.
Exactly.
When you don't believe in something divine or a creator or a great spirit or help, something helping you or guiding you or protecting you, you may not even realize. You may just be stuck in the doom and gloom. You may just be stuck in it's hopeless and so on. You may not even realize because you're missing something very crucial. You know, I have always been connected to spirit ever since I was, you know, a child. I mean, I've had these miracles and experiences, and I have also looked in the eyes, like you spoke about, the most evil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call it, entity, and I was protected, and I was saved and taken care of and protected and removed from that circumstance. But what it did for me is it showed me what is really what we're up against. Because I used to speak about this to people. I would say, you know, if you think that things are rough now, wait, because things are going to get darker and things are going to be more challenging for us. But it doesn't mean that things aren't going to be also the opposite of good and light and love and compassion. But we have to participate in that. But I think you have to know what it is that we're up against. And that's what we talk about here on this show. And plus, on the other side, we also share the miracles. And we also share the awesome experiences that people are capable of, you know. So I feel that if you don't have a belief or a faith, you will not even know when there's a hand reaching out to you or a miracle is occurring, you know?
Yeah, I believe people step over miracles all day, every day, without ever even knowing that they even seen a miracle. You know,
I'm exactly like this, and this is exactly how I've been all my life, okay? All my life. Even when I was in the dumpster, the way I looked at things is that if I woke up and grandfather or God, whichever, allowed me to open my eyes up and my heart keep beating and that breath come in my body and I keep breathing, then it's not over. There's something going to happen. And I'm, you know, I was there to take on. That's the thing.
Well, I believe
that's why the words is not over till it's over. We got to remember that, right?
That's yes. it. I believe that right now that humanity is being prepared for the greatest battle in the history of time.
Well, I'll put it this way. I will not stop, Shaziz and ladies, until my heart stops. When it stops, I get put in this Earth Mother itself. My spirit will go on. I'm not worried about that.
My fellow brothers here and my sister I know is listening. I feel when you speak like this, it really uplifts me because I know that you'll be there, and I know that you're not going down that path of saying, "Well, it's all doom and gloom, and forget about it. I'm just giving up." When you speak like this, it really uplifts me because I know that I am not alone. I know that my heart spirit is being supported by the heart spirit that you guys carry. By the fact that it's not over till it's over, and it is not for me to say it's over. It's not for me to say you might as well forget about it and give up because it's, you know, well, eventually, guess what? It's going to be over, but it's not for me to say when it's going to be over. It's up to for Creator to make that final decision. And it's also up to that Creator, who knows my journey, who set me upon this journey, who is guiding me and showing me extraordinary things and difficult things and challenging things. This is life, but it's all up to my Creator. It's my relationship to my Creator that counts. And my trust and faith and my standing strong in that center of the sacred hoop, knowing I have that relationship, and it is not over till it's over, and that's Creator's decision and determination, and that's what I feel.
Well, I want to invite people to not only go to the Knights podcast page and actually download and listen to prior shows and today's shows, but we got some music going. Anyway, there's some pictures that I keep posting on there that like people like Stephen Gibbons and other people in the chat will post and stuff. And there's a lot of really interesting things that you can bring out of these. This one particular picture says, it is better to light a candle than curse the darkness. And right underneath it, it says, an old man told his grandson, "My son, there is a battle between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humanity, kindness, empathy, and truth." The boy thought about it and asked grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old man quietly replied, "The one you feed." Right underneath that, it's probably by far the cutest picture that I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's a little picture that Patty Walking Turtle has on her Skype. And that shows me the heart of the lady that shares that picture with everybody. I mean, you can't look at this picture without feeling love. You can't look at this picture without feeling joy.
It's cute.
It's just... Thanks for that picture, Patty. That is just... See, when I look at this picture, I can see through Patty's eyes. That's a really cool thing. Anybody got any thoughts?
Well, the thing I look at things is that there is two wolves fighting inside of me each time. There's the good and the bad wolf. And the only wolf that'll win is the one you feed the most.
Yep.
And that's an old Indian saying. You know, the thing about it is, with everything that is going on, the way I always look at myself is that if there's anybody, I have no animosity to no one. What, you know, my journey. It's my journey. I have no animosity who did what to who. I gotta make sure my children are better than I am. And that's where I stand for too. But I'm talking about everybody's kids around the world. We don't need this no more. We need to stand up for what is the real thing.
Well, part of standing up is to first be able to recognize there's even an issue at hand. And once you
Well, you know, here's the way I look at it too, real quick, is this, you know, you have good and evil. Yes, you do. You have good and bad. And you have, you know, God and Satan, good and bad on that too. But you gotta think of it this way also. Where there's darkness will come light.
Well,
I want to say something on that because this is an interesting subject. Good and evil, dark and light, and so on. Satan and God. So, what about if, when we say good, evil, the opposites, right, or the dualities of things? What about if there is no duality? I guess what I'm saying is some people believe, I guess it's what you believe you manifest and create, right? That's what we talk about.
No.
Yeah, we talk about the power that we have, the power that Creator gave us, and our beliefs are powerful. What we believe in, we manifest. So I'm just saying that if we believe in that there is evil, if we believe that there is that, you know, dark, and certainly if we believe that it's hopeless and we're helpless, well, that's how it's going to be for us. So I'm just looking at that piece because I'm kind of investigating that thread myself, you know, personally, because I like to do that. I need to do that. I need to find the truth. I need to seek the truth. I'm not just going to take what people tell me or what I've read in a book. I need to find this truth from my Creator, you know. So I'm just saying that this is an interesting subject, because if we believe that we are manifestors, that Creator gave us this gift to be able to manifest through what we believe, and that we have free will to believe, okay, so if we believe in evil, if we believe in dark, if we believe in you know, so on, like if you believe in that once you die, that's it. You know, that's it, you're done. There's nothing else. There's nothing afterward. So I'm just looking at all these pieces about the setup of duality and what that does to us in our manifestation ability. So I'm just throwing that out because I don't have the full answer, but I am looking at this, you know, and Patty says, and this is what I'm talking about. She says, what if duality is part of the construct? And that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm questioning because I think we need to look into this. You know, I think that this may, create or eliminate something or create certain patterns, wave patterns, let's say, that affect everything, you know. I don't know. I'm just looking at that. But I know that I think something important. You guys have any ideas on that?
Well, it's all important to keep your eyes and ears wide open and to be discerning in everything out there. But if somebody has the power to quite literally take away your beliefs with a virus and, you know, of course, weaponizing viruses and weaponizing just about anything, weaponizing belief systems, weaponizing differences, everything seems to be weaponized against us. But if somebody has the power to quite literally with a virus basically inoculate everybody away from any possibility of belief or free will or choice like that, then we as humanity are in serious jeopardy. And that's coming from my own point of view because I've seen the road that everybody's on. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to tell that if you keep doing certain things, you're going to go down a certain path. It's probably not going to be a smooth one. And so my concern and my reason for even bringing this show to the table today, even bringing this subject up, it's about listening closely. A lot of people hear what you say, but very few people actually listen to what you have to say, and to take it to heart and to use that knowledge to exercise their true power of who they really are and where they actually came from, the possibilities of what we could do if we ever decided to choose to use our free will and our gifts in this world in a respectful, a wise manner or whatever, you know. The things that we could do together. If you actually sit down and rewind this show and listen to the words of wisdom coming up out of here, it's coming from hearts. It's coming from an energy source that we don't claim to be our own. We're just pieces of the puzzle. We're honorable knights of the round table, sitting around on equal footing, and we're talking about things in this world that need to be resolved. There was one particular lady that I just mentioned earlier who resolved a problem. She found a baby that was in terrible jeopardy, and she produced a miracle. She literally, quite literally, produced a miracle. If it hadn't have been for her, then that baby wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't even be talking about it if we had no knowledge of it to begin with.
You know, for the mothers out there, for the mothers, okay, you got all these warriors, and yes, we are. We are, we're broken. A lot of us are. A lot of warriors are broken. And, I actually wrote a song about it, okay? And, it's called Mama, which I've actually done on several radio shows. But anyway, even that song has started to touch people now. So, I'm hoping to continue. And if I can make somebody feel good, don't thank me, thank the Creator. If I give you a message that makes you feel better, don't thank me, man. I'm just a messenger.
That's what
thank
I feel.
Creator, you know?
That's what I
well,
feel.
I'd like to say that just taking this a little further, reflecting on this again, is sort of like I'm saying, I guess, that what you focus on, okay, you manifest. And I'm not saying be ignorant and don't realize that there is evil out there, that people don't have the capacity, because they do. I'm just saying that if we believe and we focus on something, we give it more power.
Yep.
And we manifest it, and it takes us off track. You know, it removes us from that heart spirit, or from the light, or from all the possibilities that Creator has given us. So I'm just saying that, you know. So if you believe that things are so bad that nothing's going to change and that we'll never have peace, you know, you're giving that energy, is what I'm saying. And the energy is powerful. The energy manifests and creates, you know. And the way I believe and the way I was guided to see is that everything has already been created by our Creator. Everything. Everything that we can imagine has already been created by our Creator, right? And given us free will, basically, to choose the pathway that we want to go down. And we have been empowered to have this ability to co-create or manifest, whatever you want to call it. So I think it's important to be aware of where our mind takes us, the monkey mind, I call it. That the monkey mind will take us into that spin that the mainstream media is pushing out, or whatever is pushing out, and saying, well, it's hopeless and it's helpless and things are so bad and so horrible. You know, and then we attach ourselves to that message, and then we're adding energetically to build that, to grow that, to feed that, is what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, your light just shines dimmer, you know, because you're losing hope. You're losing what it is to be you.
That's right.
I'm gonna say this real quick, man. I live with a 19-year-old child. Well, she's a grown woman now. Oh, my God. She's my child. And she's fighting cancer right now. And she's been fighting it her whole life. She was born with this mutation, they say. I look at this child every day And if you don't think a miracle exists, this kid has been medicine to many, many people. She dances for the sick. And that's one of the reasons I keep going the way I'm going right now is because of that baby. So I want to give her thanks.
Well, I want to give her thanks too, because that shining light that she—that is her. I can feel the love in your heart because of that child.
My tears fly, Gordon.
Well, folks, as much as I'd like to keep on rolling today, because this is a really important subject, I hope that something that's been said here today resonates with you enough that you want to share it with somebody else, because. Just like all the other disasters in the world, when people finally come together, that's all we're asking for. We're asking for people to come together in peacetime instead of waiting around for the war, or instead of waiting around for the natural disaster or the family member to die. We're asking people to come together. That's all we want. We're not trying to get you into any kind of belief system or anything like that. We're not trying to force our beliefs on you or even try to beg money or anything like that. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to do something that we feel is necessary to resolve the issues of the world that would end the suffering of the world itself, the people of the world, our brothers and sisters. There ain't no reason for anybody in the year 2018 to be starving to death. There ain't no reason for anybody to be homeless unless that's their choice to wander the lands. You know, if they don't want to own a home or they just love to walk around and be free, then that's their choice. But if they want a home, then it's up to us to try to help them find one. It's up to you know, they had these things called barn raising ceremonies when farmer had the misfortune his barn would burn down or something like that. That the community would come together and they'd build him a new barn. They'd all have dinner together and sing and dance and work. And, you know, they'd make an easy task out of what would have otherwise been almost impossible for an individual. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for anything that you can't give, anything that you're not willing to give. We're not asking you for any donations or anything like that. We're just asking you to share a little bit of love, share a little bit of peace and hope, and to throw a positive pebble out there in the pond. And if by some chance you're out there in that pond and that positive pebble affects you, pick it up and throw it again. Send it out to somebody else. It's that pay it forward thing that you hear talked about all the time, that smile that leaves your face and travels throughout the world. That's how we make the world a better place. You're not going to get it via any representation, because it's the track record's already been proven to be flawed. Governments, they try things, and this whole concept of some scientist out there trying to figure out a way to take away your beliefs so that you're not a radical religious fundamentalist or whatever. We don't need that. We don't need that power in some sort of military-industrial complex who decides one day that maybe those who believe in the Constitution need to be vaccinated. Maybe those who believe in freedom, sovereignty, need to be vaccinated. Maybe those who believe in God need to be vaccinated. Maybe everything that is you gets erased one day and you're nothing more than an empty vessel running around doing what you're told. The whole know your place and shut your face concept. I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want my children to be subjected to a world like that. And the people on this panel got enough love in their heart where they feel the same. Two Dog has laid some stones down for a smooth passing through the future, and he's still working hard at doing the same thing. Patty's laying stones down for people to have a smooth path in the future, and Barbara's doing that. I'm doing that. The people in the chat room are doing that. And every time you throw one of these podcasts out for somebody else to hear these words of wisdom and love, you're doing that. That's how we get the message out. That's how we tell people out there in this world that even as dark as things appear, as long as you want to shine that light, there's at least four lights on this panel alone. There's more lights down there in that network, and People for People network. There's some wonderful souls over there as well. And all these other networks that take their time and energy to rebroadcast these talks that we have together, they're laying down the stones. We the people, we have power. We have something that was gifted to us from birth, that belongs to us, that should never be taken from us, so we should never allow it to be taken from us. You have the power of the spoken word. You can take and literally lift somebody up to the highest reaches of heaven, or you can, with your words, take them down to the lowest, darkest abyss of quite literal hell. That's how powerful your words are. Words do have meanings. Words can hurt. And that old sticks and stones thing, you might as well disregard that. Because I've seen people beaten down with words so bad that they feel like the world is in such disarray that there ain't no hope. And I'm going to use my words to lift that individual back up. I'm going to lift my words back up to remind them of what my Creator said. That if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And I believe that to be so. So with that said, it's time to go around the Knights of the Round Table and let everybody have their last say. Which one of you ladies want to go first?
Step in, because I gotta travel on here. And well, as always, you know, it's always a very deep and eye-opener and upliftment and good stuff, you know. When we go into these kinds of discussions, it helps me to go deeper in my own self and seek out, you know, something good, hopefully, to share with people, and helps me to think more, of course, helps me to go get in touch with the source, creator source, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone for being here. We're so happy when you're here with us, and your remarks and responses and so on, also really important to us. And I always say, take what sings to your heart spirit, you know, just my experience, my personal sharing, and also do your research, you know, that's what we all need to do. And I just want to send out lots of love and blessings to everybody. And Doksha, Kiwan, Chinkyan, Tinkilo, I will see you again probably next week. Oh, later. Patty and I are going to be on later, you guys. Yeah. So, okay.
I'm going to have to show up for that adventure.
Come on down.
How many hours are we away from that?
Oh, well, we're going to be, I don't know. Well, for me, I'm here in New York State. It's 4 o'clock.
Well, at my time, I'm at 11:17 a.m.
Well, right now it's 12. You're only an hour behind me.
Oh, okay. So, like, how...
Well, we're just going to be using our ears a lot today. Patty said we're going to be playing it by ear. You know what that means.
Well, that's always good.
I think that's by the seat of our pants or something like that.
Yeah, for those folks listening in, these talks aren't scripted. We don't sit there and take time to write it down what we're going to say. We just come out with it, and that's that. You're hearing straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, the truth. That's it, coming straight from the heart.
There you go.
So with that said, Patty, you still around?
Yep, I'm here.
Got any words of wisdom?
Yeah, even when we do have a script, we never
we don't follow it.
That's why we don't worry too much anymore. But yeah, it was a great show, guys. And I guess the only thing that I would really add is that, you know, the journey is really worth the trip, and that journey is into self, because within us are some amazing and beautiful, even disturbing things that once we start looking into, we get a better understanding of ourselves, and that helps us, I think, look at the world and see that every individual out there is just like us, just searching, we're just looking, we're just trying to find the answers, and we all may not follow the same trail, but it all comes out the same place in the end. So it's really, you know, enjoy the adventure, live the adventure. You know, I often say live, love, laugh, and stand strong. And I truly believe that. And take care and soft pass. All right.
That was beautiful. So what about you, Two Dog?
Or the way I could say this is, none of this I say is scripted, believe me. But always understand, man, in this journey that you walk, if you have a caring, if you have a caring for anything or anybody, if you see someone down, pick them up. That's nothing hard to do. I don't want to see no child hurt, no child go hungry. I don't want to hear this. If America's as strong as they and as powerful as they say they are, nobody should be homeless, no child should be hungry. It's time to come together and just look at things in the right manner. To me, you know, to all my relations, I want to thank you very much, Keith, for having me here. And may your visions and your journey on your time be as fruitful as anybody else.
Well, brother, I feel the same exact way. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Roundtable at www.shazizradio.com. Go over there and join the people at People for People Radio. There's a link right underneath the chat room. Go over and say hi. Tell them old Shaziz and Barbara and Two Dog and Patty sent you. Just say hi to them. They're wonderful souls over there. You know, they rebroadcast these deals for us, and you know, we have multiple other networks that pick up this show and share it with everybody. It's you that makes the difference. When you come and visit with us and you share your ideas and your hope and love and that kind of stuff, that's what it's all about. The Knights of the Round Table is a round table. That's it. You are on equal footing when you stand here at ShazizRadio.com with us. We don't judge you by anything. We only want for you the same thing that you probably want for yourself. We want a better world, and that's what it's all about. That's where truth, honor, and justice, and fairness, and all that comes into play. Let's not let the world go down to the road of tragedy before we finally come together like we should have been all along as a family. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, Just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, King Shaziz the Terrible. Always looking Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.